You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour. We give you that sports talk in lamest terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris.
And Jonathan.
Yeah, I know we was trying to get in last week. Jonathan had a severe...
Yeah, I came down with a mad fever, y'all, so please forgive that we had to skip it, but I was in dire need of some rest. So.
Yeah, you was out of it. Like, you can't come over here.
I was like, heck no, I can't afford to get the baby sick, so... Yeah. Had to rest up, and I'm feeling good, feeling great. I saw that Super Bowl, even though I was sick as hell, but I feel good. Now I'm ready to speak on it.
Yeah,
I got a lot to say. That's for sure.
Was sick on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the measles, though.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. People, get your kids vaccinated. I'm sorry. Vaccinate your children.
Shit. Oh, yeah. We got a lot to get into. We got the Super Bowl, the NFL. We got All-Star Weekend approaching.
Yes, sir.
Things of that nature. A lot of good things happening in the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got a guest on the show.
Absolutely.
Before I introduce her, let me get some of that business out the way. You can find us on iTunes Radio, on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. Just look under Black Is. You can find us there. You can also go to the website, blackisonline.com. Check us out there. If y'all want to leave any comments, questions, feedback, hit us up. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com, on Twitter @BrothersLayman, or on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
Holla. So as I said, we got a guest in Sports Happy Hour. This lady knows her football. You know, talk sports with her, football with her. She knows her stuff. Is the, I would say, the sports correspondent for the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. Shout out to those ladies. We have Kimma Fuzz. What's going on?
Hey, hey, everybody. Glad to be here. Happy to talk about the Super Bowl, even if it makes me sad.
No, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to represent as best I can.
For sure, for sure.
Oh, no, we trust you. You know, I heard you on the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. You talked some NFL there. And I was like, oh, this girl, she knows that stuff. I was like, okay, yeah. And then I got to give love to Queenie over at the IDS crew. She mentioned me getting you and Kyla on a show. So she would be real. She would love to hear that. So, Queenie, I hope you're listening. We tried Kai. She's off on vacation enjoying herself. But we know we'll definitely have her on again.
Got to have all the Philly people.
Yeah, you know. We enjoy having some guests on the show and, you know. Definitely appreciate you coming on. Definitely appreciate, you know, you taking the time to hear the show or, you know, joining us as well. So it's all love right there. That's all love.
All right. Before we get into the deep topics, we're going to start off with a rest in peace to Dean Smith.
Yes.
UNC legend.
Man.
Woke up this morning, passed away at the age of 83.
Crazy. One of the best college coaches, just best coaches of all time. Just in the history of sports, man, and as far back as I can remember, he was North Carolina. And, I mean, so many great players came from him. Got the Sam Perkins, the James Worthies, everybody knows Michael Jordan. You know, even guys like, you know, Vince Carter, You know, Antoine Jameson.
Rick Fox.
I mean, there's just a plethora of names. Rasheed Wallace. I mean, it just goes on and on. And this guy, I mean, Jesus Christ, what was he? 36 years as head coach. Won 874 games, 77% winning percentage. Ridiculous. 11 Final Four appearances, 2 national titles, 17 ACC regular titles. Like, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, just one of the best coaches of all time. You know, a lot of people will put him up there, you know, with the John Woodens, the Mike Krzyzewskis, you know, whatever. But the best coaches you can think of, you know, whatever sport, football, basketball, whatever, baseball, he's up there.
Thing about Dean Smith that stands out for me is that he wasn't just a great coach. I mean, he was a great man, and he was the type of coach that you wanted to entrust your kids to. You know, all the tributes that have come out today, I feel like that gets repeated more and more, not just about the type of coach that he was, but also just what a great man and a great leader he was for the university.
That's right.
Yeah, I've seen that. Even when he was, you know, when they talked about him earlier on, they just talked about him as like very like John Wooden. Like, it's everything I learned off the field. You know, we had Jordan come out and said a statement basically outside of his parents. That was his mentor. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the dude made a real good contribution, not on, just on the court, but off the court too. And I mean, you can't ask for a
he turned boys like into men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made North Carolina what it is.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Created a lot of Duke haters.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. So, yeah, rest in peace, you know. Yeah, prayers to the family and sure. all that, mm-hmm. you know. He will be missed, man. I mean, they don't make coaches like that out of the blue. You know, these guys come on once a generation. So,
absolutely.
You know, prayers to all the North Carolina family.
Cherish the time that you were able to see him and that you were able to be present in his presence. You
know, I just want to also point out that he was also one of the first to recruit a black player, you know, to UNC, a black scholarship athlete. So he was there for integration. He was a huge part of the civil rights movement.
There it is.
That's right.
There it is.
Earns our respect. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. So let's get into this NFL.
Let's go.
Hey, man, that game, a lot going on. You know, a lot of talk before it. Well, it was only much about two subjects. You know, we already got into Deflategate.
Before we even get into it, let me just, since I can't even stand the motherfuckers, but congratulations to the fucking Patriots to winning the Super Bowl, you know.
I'm giving them the slow clap right here.
I mean, because I'm a Broncos fan, and damn it, it is hard for me to say that, but, you know, they won. Shit, I mean, when all else fails and all, when everything said, they did win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So early on in the season, everybody had them in doubt. Thought, you know, Tom Brady was done, team ain't going to do shit, and blah, 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 blah. They came out and they just rolled. And they made it to the Super Bowl against the best defense in the league, and they won. So, I mean, you know, I can't hate on them. Got to give credit where credit's due. They won. Even though there was some controversy, they won the damn game. So, period. Yep. I got to give it to them.
I think back to that game, that Monday night game against Kansas City. And or the Sunday night, and everybody was like, they're done. Tom Brady should retire, or they should move on. And I remember saying then, everybody was underestimating. I mean, this is what they live for. They live for these types of challenges. And then they just dominated pretty much the rest of the way. They won 7 in a row after that, and it wasn't even close. Like, their margin of victory was like 20 points per game. It was crazy. So I'm not surprised they made it back to the Super Bowl, even with the controversy. But they did play a good game in the actual Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, props to them.
There you go.
You know, the Super Bowl was good. I mean, granted, it started off a little slow. You're like, God, are they going to ever get some scoring? You know, but Seattle came back, tied it up at the half. And like, okay, here we go. Even took a 10-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, mm-hmm. with this defense, 10 points, you should be able to handle it. And you know, but
vintage Tom Brady.
I mean, this vintage this short pass. I can't stand a short pass game all the time. But
it works.
It does work. You been getting away with it, and you're just like, oh, he got too much time on third down. I was like, man.
And to me, that was the key. It was his offensive line.
Yeah.
They were able to do a pretty good job maintaining the pass rush from Seattle. And, I mean, we have said from Jump Street, you give Tom Brady time, he's going to pick your apart. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good your defense is. If you give him too much time, he's going to kill you. And I mean, Julian Edelman, don't care what nobody says, that man had a concussion. He didn't know where the fuck he was. And to me, that was blatant. I'm sorry, but that was blatantly obvious.
Oh, okay.
He took that shot from Chancellor over the middle. Dude, he got up running. I give him credit. He didn't think he was down. But on the next few plays, you clearly could tell he ain't right. I mean, he caught like a 17-yard pass after that, fell to the ground, didn't look like he didn't know what was going on. Then Tom Brady throws him a pass in the goal line. Easy pass to catch that he normally catches, and he just drops it out of nowhere. I mean, he did catch the final touchdown pass, but I mean, clearly you could tell he was woozy. I'm sorry, it's the Super Bowl, I know, but we have had this whole shit on concussions and how to protect these guys. I'm like, I'm sorry, but to me, there was a blatant person on that field with a concussion, and he was not taken out.
Yeah, because what's the name got taken out for the Seahawks? He came out...
Cliff Avril.
Yeah, with a concussion.
Cliff Avril, early on, right.
Yeah, go out. I mean, for Seattle, I mean, they were banged up. It was like, this is not good. I'm like, all your big hitters is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Sherman hurt, Thomas hurt, Chancellor hurt.
You lose Jeremy Lane right after the interception play.
And I gave him props, man. I was like, he talked all that smack, and he came out and made a big play in the end zone. Saved them from scoring a touchdown. Boom. And then, had to break his damn leg. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he was going to have a good game. Like, all right, he's making plays. Like,
and then Daryl Simon came in, and Tom Brady just picked on his ass the whole game.
Yeah, it was sad. That was ugly.
Yeah.
That part was ugly.
But I mean, shit, beast mode, let's get down to the nitty gritty. 2 minutes left, not even 2 minutes left in the game. Excellent catch by Jermaine Kearse. I mean, one of the best catches I've ever seen on his back.
That catch would be the greatest catch in Super Bowl history if the game ends differently.
Correct. And then...
It would be a helmet catch. It's better than a helmet catch to me.
Yeah, especially if he got up and got in.
And I have to give credit to the Patriots for that. They were smart enough to understand, okay, get him down.
Yeah.
Because he easily could have got... If he had gotten up a little bit quicker, he probably would have scored.
Hell yeah.
But, you know... And then next play, Marshawn Lynch gets 4 yards to the one. And then, oh shit, we have everybody looking at their TV screen from 2 inches away saying, okay, give Beast Mode the ball. And then, holy shit.
Oh, snap.
I don't know what happened. I think some people blacked out. Pete Carroll called the fucking pass. And Malcolm Butler, God bless him, makes a hell of a jump on that pass and
pick.
And the world said shit together.
Man, this is some bullshit.
I think I heard echoes all throughout the world. I was like, damn.
That sapped. I guess outside of everybody in Patriots homes, that sapped the energy out of everybody. Because you were like, oh, I mean, they were like, you're like, oh shit, they actually got a chance to do it. They gonna do it. Here we go. The fuck?
No. Right.
Like, oh. Because you saw Tom Brady's face. When that catch, he was like, they were already talking like, you're going to lose another Super Bowl based off a lucky catch in the fourth quarter.
And then, I mean, look, for me, I've told people, look, Pete Carroll overthought it. I was just upset because I'm like, on the prior play, Marshawn Lynch bolted for 4 yards. He's got momentum going. Give him the ball again. And I don't give a shit. Pete Carroll babbled his way through that press conference after that Super Bowl. I saw that shit like through 3 times. And all he did was, we were just, he didn't know how to explain it. He really didn't know how to explain it. Because common sense just went out the window. Common sense would have told you, give Marshawn Lynch the ball. We have a timeout. So in the slight chance he doesn't get in, call a timeout.
Yes.
And then perhaps maybe, at that time you can possibly pass the ball.
You're probably going
to
have to.
But if you're going to pass it, at least throw a fade or stow it somewhere where if your dude can't catch it, it's going out of bounds or something. Or it's not in the middle of the goal line. But that's besides the point. Marshawn Lynch, I don't care how many times people try to explain it, you set up goal line. Football is a game of wits and a game of will.
They had their run defense goal line set up. Well, no shit. They're on the goal line, the 1 yard line. Man up your goal line offense and smash that motherfucker through the goal line. You have Marshawn Lynch back there. Are you kidding me? And it's not like his whole body has to cross. He's got to get the ball over the damn goal line. I don't know. Common sense just went completely out the window. That offensive coordinator, Derek Bevel, he ain't never getting a head coaching job, ever. Especially after trying to put blame on Chris Matthews. He could have fought a little harder for the ball. Fuck you, coach. I'm sorry. Dude made a great play. Malcolm Butler made an awesome play on that. He read that shit like a book. He was like, oh, see it already. I know what I'm doing. And he made a great play. Mm-hmm. Don't blame your players. That was Bush League. I'm sorry. You a little bitch for that.
All right, Kimber, what you got on, what's your take on this?
I literally was so happy because Tom Brady looked like he wanted to cry. And that made me giddy. I mean, the look on his face after the catch, and once Marshawn, because Marshawn didn't get it just to the one. He got it inside the 1 yard line. It was inside the one. And at that point, Tom Brady is on the sideline and he looks like he's about to cry. And it is a beautiful sight. It is a beautiful sight for Patriots haters around the world, of which I am. And then I felt like Andy Reid possessed, you know, Pete Carroll and Darren Bevel in that moment where you just kind of bitched up and said, you know what, I'm smarter than this and I'm just going to overthink everything and I'm going to outsmart everybody and I'm going to show them just how smart I am and then promptly lose the game. Because that seriously was an Andy Reid type call. Because there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason to not run the ball. And as you just said, if you're going to throw, if for some reason you just went insane and you're like, I have to throw, I have to throw, I have to throw. Marshawn Lynch was open out in the flat. Like he ran out to the left. He was open. You could have thrown it that way. If he doesn't catch it, it's an incomplete pass. No muss, no fuss. And on top of that, the Patriots weren't calling timeout. So like, this is it. This is the game. Just run the ball. Just run the ball. And if you have an Ernest Byner moment, then you live with that. I mean, that whatever, that happens. Stuff happens. You don't throw in the middle of the field. You just don't do that. Why would you do that?
See, I mean, why?
If Seattle runs that ball and they don't get in, I don't think people ain't as mad.
No.
Nobody's mad.
Because everybody and even our mama called me and was like,
Chris, why was that play called? I just thought they were so close. I said, oh, run that in. And next thing I know, he was throwing it. And I'm like, okay.
It was like, oh, 6 seconds left with the Chicago Bulls. Who's getting the ball? Anybody right. besides Michael Jordan? Of course not. Come on. Like, he's getting.
It's like the Lakers with Kobe. Kobe's getting the ball on the last shot. You know that. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 5-1.
You win or lose. It's okay. Right. I mean, you win or lose with that.
I don't
and
care
it's fine.
If they
so
stacked everybody literally on top of each other in the middle of a formation. Give that fool the ball, let him jump over. I don't care.
Well, to me, you have to because you ran it the first time.
Thank you.
And got positive yardage.
Right.
And just
right.
like.
And you have to time out. You have to time out.
Well,
you
yeah,
don't,
one.
There's no.
They blew one. Now, that I didn't like. I saw that, you know, that first time out. I don't know what the hell that was. And like, oh, we couldn't get the play. And like, what the fuck? Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, the second one was off that Javon Curse catch where, you know, like, all right, I got to run 40 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Catch ourselves and get our composure.
But it was after that, I was like, oh, shit. Now you just, you went through three, you had three timeouts when you started to drive. Now you got one.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Like, you had time to just run it up. Get it run again. Try it again. Just try it with Lynch one more time. Or I was like even fake it with Wilson. Like you have two running options. You don't have to run it with Lynch. You can do it with some kind of little fake and get Wilson in there or on a sneak, whatever. But I'm like, okay, just burn a timeout. Then if you want to pass twice, I get it because you don't have any more timeouts. But Marshawn Lynch deserved one chance. On the goal line. Yes, and I've heard that his goal line, you know, attempts versus scores.
I don't care. That goes out the window.
Yeah, he deserves
the last game of the season,
one
bro.
Try. Just that one try. He doesn't. I don't think he. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. I can deal with it. Exactly. Then you're just like, right. Oh, well, it's a four down stand. Let's see what happens. Oh, no. But I do think my man was a step. If he was a step behind, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And nobody cares.
But Malcolm Butler made a hell of a play.
He did. That was a great defensive play. Yeah. I mean, it was a great defensive play.
Another part that nobody really talks about, they were on the 1 yard line and Michael fucking Bennett went off sides. I'm like, dude, you have an opportunity to at least make them get a safety. And then that's when, of course, all hell broke loose after that play with the fight and all that shit. But I'm like, to me, Seattle twice squandered their opportunity to win that game. Not just once, but twice.
Yeah, he had them. You know, that's when I was like, all right, you got him on a one. Everybody's saying they can't take a knee, otherwise it's a safety, and you get the ball back. Okay, and then you
got a chance.
Yeah, and it's funny because Michael Bennett was getting there. He was always like a step or two late to Tom Brady, but he was hitting Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But he could never quite get there. And I think he just wanted that moment. And you're like, oh, fuck. But yeah, that meltdown right after the fact was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, let your emotions take over.
We all upset.
Yeah.
We all pissed with you.
Right.
But you can't just be like, I'm fucking, like, it's...
The game's not over yet, technically.
Right.
Yeah, so, unfortunately. And then that fight afterwards, that was awesome. That was primetime TV. That's fine. If they don't win, give me a brawl, then fuck it.
That's what you call frustration.
Yeah, right. they were upset, man. And rightfully so. Richard Sherman's face said everything.
It did.
It said everything.
And you said Marshawn Lynch deserved to run that opportunity. I feel like the entire team, everybody deserved for Marshawn to run that ball. I feel it wasn't just about him. This is your best chance for the entire team. And I feel like that play call just robbed everybody. It just robbed everybody. And the thing is, Russell Wilson was not having like Tom Brady type numbers, but this dude was about to be 13 for 21 for 279 yards and 3 touchdowns. Talk about efficient. That was going to be his ending. I mean, like his stat line, if it goes the other way.
Yeah, he played it well because I got to admit, his last two games, Super Bowl and the NFC Championship, he made the plays necessary down the stretch to put his team in position to win. But, I mean, I'm just like, dude, this is...
He didn't play well.
No, you didn't.
No.
Like, you were struggling to get some offense going. And they're not a... You know, New England can put up 40. Seattle can't put up 40. So you can't... You got a chance to score. You got to score. You can't just be like, all right, we'll be down and only have 7 points at half or some shit like that. You got to pick up the pace.
They went away from their identity, period.
They did, but think about it. Like, in this game, so definitely in the NFC Championship game, that was just ridiculous. But in this game, you know, they took a couple of hits early from the Patriots, and then they brought out Chris Matthews out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere. And they tie up the game before they go to half. And I was like, okay. And then they take the lead when they come back. It was just like after that, they just kind of, when they got that 10-point lead, it just, I don't know, coaching, playing, calling, I don't know, it was just weird. They just struggled.
Yeah, they got comfortable. And I don't believe all that crap about, oh, well, you know, they didn't want Marshawn Lynch to get it because it would have been media. I'm like, the only people who care about that are the NFL bigwigs who've been bashing Lynch.
Yep.
Seattle Seahawks could give a fuck. They like, if Marshawn Lynch get it, that's more pub for us.
They were supporting them all throughout the media days. So
right.
I don't know.
Right.
Which we're going to lead into. So I'll start with you, Kimbo. How did you feel about basically Marshawn Lynch being attacked for coming out and basically saying, I'm not really going to talk to y'all, but I'm going to just do what I'm going to respect the rules and be here, but I ain't saying shit.
I loved what he said on the last day, the absolute last day, where he was like, I don't know why y'all keep coming back here. You know, you're not going to get me to say anything. I absolutely love that. I mean, like the day before when he was like, I'm just here not to get fined. That was funny. But I liked in the end where he was like, you know what? I don't even know why y'all keep coming here. You know, I don't want to talk to you. You're not going to get me to say anything. I thought that was great. And the thing is, by being himself, by being this way, he does more. He brings more positivity to himself and to the Seahawks, to me, because his teammates, as you guys said, they support him throughout. You know, the coaching staff, the general manager was like, I'm fine with it. You know, the owner was like, I'm fine with it. Whatever. Whatever makes Marshawn, you know, comfortable. Because he doesn't have to be comfortable for the media. He has to be comfortable for the team. So,
correct.
So I like how he handled it. I like how he, you know, handled his business. I love how he wore his hat and took advantage of the free press. That was brilliant.
That was great.
Brilliant.
It was awesome.
Marketing. You know, I loved his Skittles press conference. I think he did everything great for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. It was perfect.
No, he does a good job. I mean, it's funny that he does all that. People get mad about him not talking.
Because it's like
he gets even popular.
We live in a hypocritical society. Everybody preaches to be yourself and be who you are and all this. But yeah, when I'm myself and myself doesn't appease to you guys, you don't like it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, like I was all more proud to him for what he did. I loved it. And just like you said, Kimber, on that last day when he told him, look, I don't know why y'all keep coming back here. I'm not going to say anything to y'all. To me, all you doing is just bringing more attention to him and more of a draw to him because me personally, I'm like, if I'm at media day, why am I going to go to somebody who I know ain't going to say nothing to me? To me, it's dumb. So for the media to get upset at him, I'm like, y'all are the ones who look stupid. He's right. Been telling y'all pre-media day throughout the season. He's basically been telling y'all, I'm not talking to you guys. And they don't get it. So the media can bash him all they want. He's been telling y'all from the beginning, I'm not talking to y'all. So stop trying. Yet they keep trying.
Yep.
Not my fault. Not my problem. And I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to blame him for that.
No, I love it.
The funny thing about that, though, is that the fans, they keep saying, oh, he's robbing the fans. Meanwhile, the fans love it. Seattle fans specifically have no problem with him not talking. They could care less what he says. They just want him to perform the way he does. And the fact that he doesn't talk makes the Seattle fans love him more. Well, because now he's anti-establishment.
I've seen and read several stories about this young about him where he goes back home. He's doing stuff for kids. Apparently he's cool with kids. He talks all the time to kids because you know what? And I'm sure the people who he really cares about and love him for who he is, they don't judge him. I urge everybody, if you have not seen the 30 for 30 special on Marshawn Lynch, I urge everybody to see it because it's unbelievable and it's awesome. He goes back home. He's really able to truly be himself. I mean, yeah, he has the slang and the talking and all that, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But he can just be him, and he's not judged for that. And those are the people I believe he opens up to. The people he knows aren't going to judge him and call him this thug and, you know, berate him for the shit he does, not knowing that he's going home and he's doing all kinds of positive things for children. So, you know, again, we live in a hypocritical society. Everybody wants to bash this young man. I say, hey, he grew up in a tough upbringing, and it's in an upbringing like that, it is hard to trust people. And the media especially are people who will talk, who will praise you one day and turn their back right on you the next. So it's really hard to trust the media. And I urge anybody who wants to talk bad about somebody like that, walk a mile in his shoes and see what it's like to grow up in that kind of world. That's all I got to say.
No, the brother does it right. He,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, handles his business, handles things at work. Mm-hmm. No off-field issues. He's just like, anymore. I don't feel like talking to you.
Anymore,
I
will say that.
Yes. Anymore,
early
right.
on nope. in his career nope. in Buffalo, he had some problems.
Yeah.
But you know, he was young. And now
exactly.
He's
he was young,
grown,
and then
and he's
he
sure
said he learned from it. Exactly.
And he's cleaned things up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into some news. But yeah, that Super Bowl was good. I think it was like the most watched Super Bowl. Did y'all enjoy the commercials
ever.
And any of that stuff or the halftime with Katy Perry on a big ass lion? And
you know what? Some of the commercials were cool. The I will say the Brian Gumbel one, that one with Katy Kirk, that one was kind of funny. I love the Skittles commercial. People didn't like the Skittles commercial. I like the Skittles commercial with the little big arms.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Skittles commercial personally. That was just me, but
really,
I did.
Really?
I find them silly and funny. I mean, that's just me, though.
I thought the commercials were depressing. I felt like I was watching like an after school special about, you know, what not to do in life. You know, I was feeling happy about the one with the little kid. And at the end of it, they're like, oh, but I died. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that what? One was, that one was kind of.
Which morbid. One was that?
There was one where it was like a farmer's insurance commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is some depressing ass shit. And my wife works with kids every day. So she's like, this is some sad shit.
Right. It was. It's like you coming off Lord. The, I'm like, literally, that was the first commercial at a game break. So you're like all happy about whatever. And then you get this really serious, aren't I cute? Aren't I funny? Look what I do. And I died right. because you weren't paying attention. What? Damn.
And the Mountain Dew commercial. That one was awesome.
Oh, I mean,
with everybody dancing, that shit was great.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that one.
I like the Snickers commercial with the Bradys. Yes.
Oh yeah, with
Machete.
Machete.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, my man from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah,
yeah. It's always about Marsha. Yeah, that was great.
I can't believe I met those. It's just because. You know, dad's not here. Anytime I see these little father-son commercials, I'm like, man, y'all making me really gonna cry in these commercials. Right. But then that's when the other one came. It was like, y'all already had me emotional. Now you gonna give me some death shit?
And I'm a dog lover, so they had one, I think it was a Budweiser commercial where the dog got lost and it's on his way home. I'm like, oh my God, it reminds me of my dog.
Yeah, it was real. Like,
it was. They were trying to hit your heart in them commercials, boy. Like, damn.
It was the emo commercial. Man, it was Super Bowl emo style because it was very emotional and I didn't appreciate it. I was like, I miss the funny ones. Exactly. I want to laugh. I want to be, and you know, I want to be like, if you're going to have a serious one, have it be one that makes me be like, yeah, not sitting around like, wow, I need to go hug my kid. You know, no, that was a bit much.
You know, folks over here drinking and enjoying themselves.
Right.
Press them for like the. Like, and we're back. Like,
as far as the halftime show, I mean, look, Katy Perry, I guess she did. I didn't really, to be honest, didn't really watch much of it. I saw the little Missy special appearance and I was like,
Missy Elliott. Okay.
She was the best part.
She was the best part. Because it's.
That was the best.
The fact that it's all fake and stuff. The fact that it's all piped in, I can't stand it. Because I know with Lenny Kravitz, I'm like, dude, I already know you're not playing the guitar for real. Or you're playing it for real, but that's not what's getting piped in.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It right, is right. what it is.
Yeah, and then everybody made fun of her and them sharks, and she had a hot dog on a stick dress. Me and
that
my wife.
Awesome.
Yeah, me and my wife, as soon as she came out of Africa, we were both like, nigga, that's a hot dog on a stick uniform. You just changed it up. Like, okay. I was like, that's Katy Perry. Yeah, I mean, you don't get paid.
And then everybody's
you're big enough.
Climbing her little fire outfit. Like, who wore it best? Her or Bam Bam Bigelow?
Right.
Like, oh, damn.
Right.
They were like, damn. Yeah, they were like, here come Katniss.
Oh,
Katy Perry was an afterthought in her own halftime.
She was, though.
Literally, the stars were Missy Elliott and Left Shark, because Left Shark was just doing his own thing.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If I'm going to pay them to do a show, I'm doing my show. I'm sorry. F the other people. I'm doing a show for me. I'm putting on the show.
Right.
Not Missy Elliott, not Drake, not none of these fools. I'm putting on the show. You're going to see me and nobody else. All you all talk about on Twitter is me. Good or bad.
All we talked about was Left Shark, Missy,
right?
And her outfits. You know, that's not what you mean. Bruno Mars last year was like really, really good.
Yeah, Bruno Mars was good.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he wasn't as great as Prince because that's my favorite halftime show ever. But, you know, he was good. He was high energy.
No. He did the job. Katy Perry was a lot of like show and extras.
Yeah, a lot of props.
Yeah,
a lot of props. And you got to do a lot of props. That means that you know you're
trying
not
to draw
ready.
Attention away.
You're not ready. From the fact that you can't sing live very well.
Exactly.
Because she can't. Just in case you were wondering, she can't. It was not good.
Exactly.
We'll see who does it next year. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed the Super Bowl. You know, I left sad, but I can't say as a fan of neither team.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
I would love to say that I enjoyed it, but I really, if they had lost, like with the 99 Rams when they won, you know, and Kevin Dyson was 1 yard short, I was rooting for Tennessee that year, you know, and I was sad that Tennessee lost, but it was just a really great play all the way around. Like, just everything was great about it. This one, I was just so pissed off at the end. Like, I can't even enjoy the greatness of the Super Bowl itself because I just don't understand what the fuck they were thinking.
It was such a bad call at the end. It kind of deflated the enjoyment of the game.
Right. For me, at least. I mean, I know New England people are, like, giddy. They care less. But, like, for me, part of it is because I hate New England, but also because I just really like to see a great play. And if he just got stopped, like somebody said, if Marshawn Lynch had, you know, tried to go in and they just stopped him on a goal line stance, okay, it happens. But a coaching decision? Just, oh, really?
Yeah, those hurt. When it's either that or a ref getting in the way, you're like, oh.
Yep.
Right.
But, yeah, speaking of the Seahawks, I mean, they banged up secondary. Like, Earl Thomas, they have surgery to repair a torn labrum. Chancellor played with a torn MCL. Sherman's supposed to need Tommy John surgery. Like, damn, okay. All y'all going to the ward.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them some credit for playing hurt. Last game of the season, those boys went out fighting.
No, they
– No, I was just going to say, you know, they only threw from, like, Sherman's side, like, one time the whole game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, he didn't get talented a lot. Yeah, just once. So, yeah, I mean, the playoff, to go out there and play out, yeah, they didn't really challenge him. Not that I, you know, I don't blame him. I wouldn't have challenged him either. The short game was working, but still.
Yeah, that was shocking. But we'll see who they play for. I just think they got the D-line coach since defense coordinator Dan Quinn going to coach them Falcons. You know, they need defensive help.
Yeah, that was a, that was very definitely badly. A good hire for them.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm loving that. Yeah, the Broncos. Your Broncos getting Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator.
He can help the defense. I'm all for it. I mean, shit, his record says our defense is going to be lights out next year. So, let's go. I'm ready. We already got DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller. We got pieces already. I'm loving it, baby. Let's go.
What about the offense, though? Like, hey, I mean, what's the deal with
Peyton? Peyton Manning will be announcing his comeback in the next few weeks. I bet money on it. And then Gary Kubiak. I mean, shoot, we know he liked to run the ball, which means C.J. Anderson, get your shoulder pads ready, baby, because you're going to be running it. That's what I'm talking about.
Not like that. You know, other coach knew you had Titans hire Dick LeBeau as assistant head coach. Stop and get that run defense.
We'll see how long this lasts. Because the last time he left Pittsburgh, it wasn't very long, and then he went back. So we'll see how long this lasts.
What else we got? I saw that Trent Richardson suspension voice guarantees on his 3.18 base salary for next season. So basically it means that thanks, now we can drop you.
Right.
He's a bust.
That number one pick rated. That number one pick just gone. Poof. No return on that.
Still can't believe they traded a first round pick for that fool.
Yeah, that was one of the worst trades in recent history.
He's one of the worst picks in recent history.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm like, he was the third pick after Andrew Luck and RG3. Keep that, put that in perspective.
Oh yeah, by who? The Cleveland, and then we got. I mean, what else can we say? First, you got Johnny Manziel checking into a treatment facility.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Because the brother needs help.
Yeah.
PR move.
I'm glad he took it upon himself to go get some help. It might be a blemish, but at the same time, that's a bright spot. Because at least he knows he got a problem. He's seeking help. That's more than we can say for that other nigga, Josh Gordon.
See, you know what? I didn't even think it was. I don't know. I'm pessimistic. I felt like it was more a PR move in the wake of Josh Gordon. Like, everybody was telling Josh Gordon, you need to go get help. You need to go get help. And Josh Gordon had that very eloquently written open letter to the world.
He was an idiot.
Where he still was like, I don't need help. You know, he's like, I still don't need help.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I felt like everybody responded to that saying, okay, that's nice and all. You still need help. And meanwhile, Johnny Manziel's people were like, you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and get ahead of that? And you just go do this thing. You know, we'll make you be up to the nice guy.
No, they got to. Because I mean,
nice guy. The nigga needs help. I'm all for if you need help and you seek it. Good job. Good for you. I mean, he still ain't out of woods yet. Just because he go to rehab don't mean it gonna work.
That's true.
Nah, I mean, but at least
Josh Gordon to me has just he'd been fucking up since Baylor. And it's just gotten to this point where I cannot believe he wrote in that letter, I don't have a problem. You don't have a problem? The fact that you wrote this letter blaming Stephen A. and Chris Carter and all them, yes, Negro, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That shows me you have a problem. Like, you just don't get it.
No.
You just the fact that he thought it was okay to pick the drinks on the, he's like, oh, it was, you know, I was on the plane. It was just, you know, it was just a drink. I'm like, but see, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Thank you. You that can say no.
Right. If you can't say no to that, then that means you have a problem because you know that this violates your agreement. And you know that.
Well, it was secondhand smoke. Why are you around niggas smoking weed then?
Right. Are they going to get in trouble? Because right. You're going to get in trouble.
He has a problem. He can't stay away from the sticky icky. And that is a problem.
Yeah, he just can't.
It's sad.
Yeah. It's sad.
You don't know how to leave all the bullshit behind you and handle your business on basically a sport that people who love football, you know, it's you got a window of time.
He could have made millions with his talent. Yeah. Millions. Because
people like he had top five receiver talent.
Yes, and he showed it.
But yeah, he's cut bait time.
He's done. I'm sorry. Yeah, he can't be trusted.
But yeah,
at all. At all.
I do agree with Johnny Manziel. It is partially because they were coming out ripping his ass. Do for the same thing. You don't really want it. You're not really working hard. I mean, what else they got to deal with? They're dealing with the steep penalties, the text gate. Like, oh, Jesus.
That shit's just weird. I'm like, what? You're the GM. Why are you texting the quarterback coach? Why are you running this play and you need to run this play? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what?
You should know that's illegal. And now you're about to get hit.
Kyle Shanahan great, but like it's just funny to me. He was like, and I'm out. It's not even worth the paycheck.
Oh, yeah, he dipped.
Peace.
Let me out of my contract, please. And they said, okay. And now he in Atlanta. Right. And then Brian, in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then Brian Hoyer came out and said that, you know, what happens with the text gate may affect whether or not he decides to return if they, you know, give him the opportunity to come back to Cleveland. And people may say, you know, whatever, but he actually has a winning record as a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Then apparently sources said, like, and I guess that game they came back from Atlanta and won, I guess while they were celebrating, the owner was kind of a little pissed off that they didn't lose, so Johnny Football couldn't get in. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is the worst run organization in football. Sell it to me, please. I'll turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, why?
Jesus.
And in between their...
Nobody's going to want to come there.
Nope. But what they got? The 24th, their last pick, number 8 pick, Justin Gilbert, was quoted more than a nuisance than an asset this season, toward the end of the season.
He had off-field problems at Oklahoma State. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And now Jordan Cameron's like, yeah, I'm gone. Don't even ask if I'm going to resign him. No, I'm not. Because I was like, yeah, he can get some money.
Yeah, come to Denver, because we're probably losing Julius Thomas. Right on.
That'd be a decent pickup.
I mean, look. I mean, this whole team, they just, I don't know. They're in shambles right now. They're going to have to do something because they got a dark cloud over them right now. And if they even think they're going to attract some free agents to come, they are sadly mistaken.
I like how you said right now, like, Cleveland Browns have never had a dark cloud over them. I feel like they've been the dark cloud organization for, like, the last 30 years.
The person I feel bad for is the coach. Because I'm like, throughout all this shit, Nick, we finished 7-9. We almost made the playoffs.
Right.
Throughout all this garbage I had to deal with, I'm like, he did a damn good job then. I'm like, if he had to deal with all of this, and they were 7-9, he did a damn good job with that team. He should have got coach of the year.
They were 7-4. They were 7-4.
Yeah.
Sharing a lead in the Central. They were 7-4, Cleveland on top, and then everybody started messing around.
Yeah,
man. Like, we got to get Johnny Football out there. We got to force the ball to Josh Gordon. We got to do this. We got to do that. And next thing you know, they lost the rest of their games.
Yep.
And yeah, they are at the bottom. That dark cloud is not going away soon.
Not at all.
And then we got some arrests on the docket because, you know, as soon as the season starts, it's like, here we go, rank it up. Who's doing what? Joseph Randle arrested for weed possessions 4 months after getting arrested for that shoplifting.
Stealing underwear and cologne. And, oh, my fucking gosh, man.
Like, he
don't, he's another like one. He don't get it.
Yeah, they issued a protective order against him, too.
I heard that.
From his ex-girlfriend.
And then he had that damn video where he was, like, talking shit about Dez Bryant. And he's a fool, man. They better hope they can re-sign DeMarco Murray. Because if you got to rely on this guy, I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, it even gets worse. Packers defensive tackle Detroit Gillian arrested for felony possession of weed, felony possession of a firearm. I'm like, what the hell? 357 grams of weed.
Whoa.
$190,000 cash and a 9mm semi-automatic in his truck that they found. And he was like, oh, shit, don't take my money. Don't take my money.
No. Right.
I'm like.
Like, what was he about to go do?
Yeah. I'm like.
Where is he about to go do or where he was coming from?
Right. Exactly.
That damn, much we caught you before you got to make it home, brother. Because. And he got home. I mean, shit. I guess he's set.
I guess. That is not.
I got 200 G's and like what, almost 400 grams of weed. I guess he good for the off season.
Yeah, like, that is not a personal stash.
Right. Let me find. He was the stash house. It was just moving.
Seriously, damn. What is?
Yesterday I was like, you may not be back.
You don't really think dudes can smell that shit with you rolling down the street?
And then Flo's like, well, we seen you leaning over. I'm like, if you got that muscle, you better go everything to speed limit.
You better follow every single law to a T.
Yeah. Turn on the blinker. Stay in between the lines at all times.
Rolling right. No rolling stops. Come to a complete stop. None. Stop sign.
Everything. Even at a red light, I'm coming to a complete stop till the light turn green.
When it turn green, I'll wait a minute.
Yep, and then I'll turn right.
And then we had Colts linebacker DeQuell Jackson arrested for assault for allegedly punching a pizza delivery boy in the face and back of his head over a fight of a parking spot.
I got it. Wait, hold up. This happened in D.C. And I live in D.C. and I got to just say this one thing. Parking spots is no joke. It is no joke. I mean, people park in your parking spot, you get a little testy. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not excusing what he did, but you know, you come home and somebody's in your parking spot or blocking up your parking spot. It's, you know, it's an annoyance. And
for those of y'all who watch the Boondocks,
I can kind of understand how this escalated.
And when we're Tom get his parking spot stolen, he come out and just drop kick old dude.
I'm saying, because people, hey, I mean,
I understand.
Folk out here in L.A. is like, you
people get crazy. Yeah, over
you
spots.
Cut somebody off. So we seen that today behind two cars. He cut some dude off. And then the guy's like, I'm going to move over to the other lane. And he jumps back in there. And I'm like, yo, there are people out here who will follow you till you stop, get out the car, and be like, what the fuck is your driving problem?
Man? Yep.
Like, right. We scrapping.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it was right. I'm just, I understand. Having come home and have people, you know, blocking my parking spot. I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, I'm about to move. No, you shouldn't even be here. You shouldn't even be here.
I get it. I live around some ignorant people who park like in the middle of a spot. So that nobody else can park there. And I'm just like, you motherfuckers. I've left notes on cars. I don't give a fuck. Learn how to park next time. Serious.
And one more thing I got to ask y'all before we take a look back at this season. What did y'all think of my man's Bitch Mode t-shirt?
You know what? I for everybody and they mama who's like, oh, Seattle got no class after the game. They fighting and they got no class. I'm like, well, takes one to fucking no one. Right. We have no class. Yeah, you come out with this shirt that say Bitch Mode. And that's classy. Really?
I just think that they were like, oh, the fan tossed it up. This is what Patriots fans are like. Oh, the fans tossed it up there. But here's my thing. You're LeGarrette Blount, right? You see the shirt. You know what the shirt says. Why the fuck are you holding that up? And especially you. Why are you, Mr. I put on my team specifically to get released so I can come back to the Patriots so I can get a ring just, you know, by being here. Why are you holding that shirt against a dude that said nothing? Like, literally makes his living saying nothing. Really? No.
Like I said.
It was tactical, classless. It's what the Patriots do, though. It's who they are. I feel like with LaDainian Tomlinson, it starts with their head coach.
Right on the money. Yeah. There it is.
There you go. Because I'm like, you coming off like you in bitch mode.
Little bitch, exactly.
I'm like, that why you bitch mode. You won. You got. What did you do?
And you sorry. You can
40
put up
yards,
that up.
Right? That was it.
I still respect Marshawn Lynch. If I'm Marshawn Lynch, nigga, don't let me see you in the street. Yeah. I'll walk up to you. Who's a bitch now?
Right. Like, if you respect me, why are you wearing a shirt?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. Thank you. Get out of here. With
you
that.
See that? You don't hold that up. It should be about what you did. Because I'm trying to remember last Seattle won. I don't think they talked about Denver at all. They were just happy they won. You know, they care less who they beat. They were like, it's about us. Why are you even taunting the people? I mean, the Richard Sherman thing, I'm like, okay, whatever. But Marshawn Lynch, really?
Yeah.
No.
I'm like, this fool don't say nothing to y'all. So whatever. It is what it is.
So we're going to take a quick look back at the 2014 season. So I got some questions for you guys. I'm going to ask you first, Kimba, can you give me a team or some teams you thought that exceeded your expectations in this season?
Oh, off the bat, Arizona Cardinals. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Bruce Arians won Coach of the Year for the second time in like 3 years. The Cardinals, I knew their defense was good, but they had losses coming into the season. You know, they lost Darryl Dockett before the season even started, I think. And yet they just kept finding ways to win. They went through 3 quarterbacks. And if their last quarter, if Ryan Lindley could actually complete a pass, they may have been Carolina. Arizona Cardinals, number one. Definitely exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, they did. They had 10 wins last season before, but they were damn near dominant. If they just had a steady quarterback, that wasn't Carson Palmer didn't get hurt. Maybe.
For me, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I going into the season, I thought Cowboys would be last in the division. I thought their defense was going to be trash. I thought they were not going to be I thought they were going to be ass this season. But I mean, they went 12-4, won the division, came one crazy play away from playing in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to give them credit. They did a great job. They finally found a formula that worked, and unfortunately, it may only last one season.
Right.
Because since they're going to have to pay Dez and DeMarco Murray, and I'm sorry, I must agree, if you're going to pay somebody, I'm paying Dez Bryant.
Right.
I've been saying.
I'm paying Dez Bryant. I mean, I can find other running backs. But, I mean, DeMarco Murray, get a man credit. He had a hell of a season. He's probably going to cash in, even though he's been a little injury prone throughout his career. I mean, Cat, this is the guys in the NFL don't get money much very long, so it's time to cash in. But, Dallas has the pieces to be good again next year. The question is, will they? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But as far as last season, they exceeded my expectations by far.
Yeah, okay. For me, if I'm going to pick one, I have to give it out of those two, because those two would be in my top two. I'd say the Lions, because the Lions really finally showed me something that, you know, outside of how things ended with Ndamukong Suh stepping on folk, you know, their defense was dominant. You know, Calvin Johnson clearly is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Megatron is a beast. And I feel like they're slowly taking that corner to hopefully next season can really, depending on if they can, you know, if they can keep Sue and keep that defense together, they could viably actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Now, Mr. Lyons, we don't know. Still got to deal with Mr. MVP, Aaron Rodgers. But Detroit real.
Yeah.
They can just.
But do you feel that Matt Stafford's the guy? Because, I mean, he can't win on the road against winning teams.
He has enough talent to do it. The problem I have a lot of times with the NFL, to me, there's 4 elite guys. You can count Ben as a 5th when healthy and on. I've asked my brother, do I think is Peyton Manning starting to fall out of that elite box?
Is he starting to decline? Yes.
Yes.
But, I mean, you look at his numbers from last year, he's elite.
Okay.
And he's still elite. He almost threw 40 touchdown passes. What you want?
It's just, it's hard to – it's kind of like, well, who they going to get? It's always, you know, Colts lucked. That was like karma. Well, timing was perfect. I mean, it was like we don't have to hold on too long. It's another prodigy. Everybody said it doesn't work like that. I think he can – I think he needs help on the running game. If you're relying on him, same thing with
Tony Romo.
Yeah, most of those guys, if they're not elite, to me, that means you can't carry the whole load on your own all the time. Like, you know, Rodgers can do it, Brady can do it, Peyton can do it, Breeze can do it. With no running game, when it's just them and some pieces, they can do something. Everybody else can do it, but I'm not trusting Stafford to win me a game all the time.
No.
But if he gets a nice running game where, okay, I don't have to solely rely on him, I think they can do something.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as teams that underachieved.
That's easy.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
the Atlanta Falcons. I picked them idiots to win a division, and fuck, the Carolina Panthers won it at 7-8-1. Yeah. I mean, good. I mean, Atlanta's defense was like all time terrible. It was absolutely horrible. Offensively, I thought at least they'd be able, Matt Ryan and them boys be able to carry them a little bit, but they couldn't even do that. And it horrible. Horrible. And then coming out now that they were pumping synthetic noise into the damn crowd, I'm like, this makes it look even worse. Mike Smith, he had a shot. He got him to the NFC Championship, but he just got
the last 2 years. The last two years
have been horrible,
right?
And makes me really question. I'm like, is Matt Ryan that guy? I gotta ask myself that question. Is he that guy? I mean, you got Roddy White, you got Julio Jones. I don't know. Them is two great wide receivers, and you can't do nothing with that. I don't know. Makes me wonder.
Okay, all right, Kimber, who you have?
Okay, so I'm just going to say that entire division, number one, like the entire NFC South underachieved.
Absolutely.
Everybody, I mean, because like you mentioned Drew Brees earlier, how you can get it done. He couldn't do it this year. I know because I had him in fantasy on one of my teams. He was seriously killing my team from the inside. So the entire NFC South was just horrible. They all underachieved. I mean, Carolina kind of pulled it together toward the end. I think they won like four. They won four in a row. So, yeah. You know, when people are like, oh, they should be in the playoffs, I'm like, no, they won down on the stretch. So they won all the games they had to win down the stretch. But, you know, I'm an Eagles girl. I'm going to have to say the Philadelphia Eagles underachieved with the 10-6 record. Because coming into this season, everybody was talking about, oh, Chip Kelly's offense, how amazing it's going to be, all the pieces we got and all these great things we're going to do, second year with the defense. And yet, same record, turnovers were huge this year. Like, we could not hold on to the ball. I mean, it was highly ridiculous. Chip Kelly's play calling was questionable. That game against San Francisco specifically, he single-handedly lost the game by doing what Pete Carroll did in the Super Bowl, by throwing the ball for no reason. You have LeSean McCoy. He ran for 7 yards on first down, and then on the next three downs, you don't run the ball at all? Really? And then you lose the game by less than 3 points? Okay. Yeah, no. The Eagles. Highly disappointing, highly achieving.
How you feel about Nick Foles? You know, I'm rather the Rams are looking at him. Do you have faith in him for, I would at least say, for the next couple seasons, or is it it's time right now to find him another quarterback?
This goes back to what you just said. Who are you going to get to replace him? Because I don't love Nick Foles. I didn't love Nick Foles when he was, you know, breaking records, you know, last year, because I just felt like they were playing subpar defense. And so, of course, he's going to throw for 7 touchdowns against the Raiders. Everybody was, you know, blown up against the Raiders last year. I don't love Nick Foles. I think he's okay. He's average. You know, he's capable. You know, if everything is perfect, he's capable. We trade him to the Rams. I mean, what are we getting? Like, what are we getting
from Touché.
You know, and then who are we drafting as a Because Mark Sanchez is not the answer. We saw that. He has a ceiling, and he hits that ceiling really quickly. He has to have everything perfect, too.
Marcus Mariota, boom, where you at?
You know? And Marcus Mariota, yeah, see, okay. To be honest, I only watched him play in the last two games, and I wasn't really that super impressed with him. So I don't know.
I'm telling you, I've been watching that kid for like 3-4 years on this side of the planet, and he is awesome.
Yeah, now whether that's
awesome. I don't give a shit about the NFL system. He is good.
No, I think he's good. It's just transferring over. I don't know.
I like him. Everybody's riding that Jameis train. I am on the Marcus Mariota train. Just like I was on the Teddy Bridgewater train.
The Teddy is nice.
Thank you.
Teddy is nice, but I don't want to recreate the Pac-10 in Philadelphia. I just kind of want us to win.
I hear you.
All right, for me, it's the damn fucking Niners, man. The Niners would come in supposedly a championship contending team. Nate, the beef between Jim Harbaugh and ownership basically was the cloud over the whole season with nobody healthy.
What have I been saying about Kaepernick?
He can't throw from the pocket.
Thank you very much.
Which is why they came out and they're talking about they're going to give more read options next season. Like, like, of course y'all are. Because he, and look, y'all are just admitting it. He's not a pocket guy.
Thank you.
Can he at times? Yes. Can he consistently?
He did against the Packers. I mean, remember he threw like, you know, for like 350 yards against the Packers, 4 touchdowns.
He's capable.
I guess he can only do it against the Packers, though. That's it.
Yeah, he has to go up to another level. He, you know, got his little chance, had his little shine, you know, but now that you, you know, doing magazines with your shirt off and acting like you trying to be in, you know, trying to get into that elite quarterback level, then you're going to have to make the necessary throws and or plays. And he didn't do either last year. He looked straight garbage to where, I mean, even Colin Cowherd, who was champion in that fool, was like, you know what? I think I might have to get off. I'm like, okay.
Well, I'm telling, I love Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck don't do no damn endorsements, none of that crap. And he learned, and he is the best young quarterback in the league. No question. No question.
All right.
He turns the ball over a lot. I just want to point that. People don't talk.
The fact that he has to throw the ball 80,000 times, I mean, well, he's going to make some mistakes. I don't have a running game at all.
Okay, you're right. They don't have a consistent
and their offensive line can barely block me for half a second.
True.
I mean, they picked him and literally have spent no money on defense or offense. I don't know where the money's going. They drafted T.Y. Hilton. He's still on the rookie deal. I don't know where the money's going. That's what I'm – get a man some weapons. When Peyton Manning got Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Dallas Clark and all them, yeah, them touchdowns went up and them interceptions went down. That's all I got to say. I'm just saying.
All right, for breakout players, I mean, you can, and these can be dudes you know, maybe had or you seen during fantasy, because I know we are fantasy football players. I mean, clearly the obvious for most people is Odell Beckham. I mean, damn.
Beast.
Right.
Beast.
Back him, like, I'm sitting here looking like, yo, like, who's going to be the number one on that team? And I was like, well, I mean, Eli Manning going to have some weapons. You know, absolutely. I'm like, on that side, I'm like, him and Victor Cruz, that's it. But, I mean, dude, it's been a great, you know, wide receiver core, young guys. Yeah, he came out the box, of course, making one-handed catches like it's nothing. Of course, made probably the greatest catch of the season.
I'd say right. So.
Because he actually scored, too. You're like, yes. Oh, I kept it inbounds, pulling in, touchdown.
And was interfered with.
Yep. It was ridiculous. Damn, that kid was such a good play.
I mean, who do y'all say?
Breakout.
Or at least somebody who really impressed you guys this season.
I know mine.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
He had a great, great season this year. I mean, he was second in total yards from scrimmage behind DeMarco Murray. But, like, when you look at it, the amount of receiving yards he had as well as the rushing yards, I mean, he was amazing. The reason why the Steelers lost to the Ravens in the postseason is because they didn't have Le'Veon Bell, and there was just nobody to plug in for him. He was that big of a part of their offense. And Antonio Brown gets a lot of the hype, as he should, because he's fabulous. I mean, he's that man is like, wow. But Le'Veon Bell made the jump this year. He was really good last year, but he was fabulous this year. Fabulous.
Yeah, I got to give some love to Antonio Brown, because, I mean, he catapulted himself into elite receiver category. He is a top five receiver in my eyes. I don't height, size, I don't give a shit. He is the shit.
Yeah, you can throw it to me 15 times. I'm about to catch it. 11 of them.
Exactly.
Put me wherever on the field. I return. I'm like, anything, I'm catching it.
Oh, and Antonio Brown had to stop. I'm sorry, Cleveland, but that right there should have told them the type of season they were going to have in week one, where Antonio Brown ran over the punter.
That was hilarious.
He ran over the Karate Kid kick.
Oh, yes. That was hilarious in the season. He was like, what the hell? I'm like, I'm going to try to jump him. I can't make it. Still got to do it.
Oh, well.
What about you?
Right.
You know what?
But no, Le'Veon Bell was my guy.
Let me give some love to my boy CJ Anderson. Came out of nowhere last few weeks of the season, was leading the league in rushing. I'm just like, I can't wait till this kid gets a starting job going in the next season.
Yeah, he getting it.
He might be my pick at running back, because damn it,
That boy does not go down after first contact. It takes a few hits to get him down. Love the effort. Man, I mean, Antonio Brown just blew the waters out of just every receiving category this year. If you picked him on your fantasy team, you struck gold.
I mean, I even got a show love to Justin Forsett because I picked him up late. Oh, yeah. And it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, Ray who? I mean, even though you wanted to be like that with all that noise, but he did a good job. Any players?
Go ahead. I want to give one more shout out to. Uh-huh. I've been ragging on Cleveland this whole entire like episode, but to Sean Gibson, the free safety. I had him in fantasy. He was leading the league in interceptions when he got hurt. He had ended up with 6 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, 52 tackles. He was having an amazing year starting off for that Cleveland defense. And when he got hurt, that's when they really started to struggle defensively too. So just had to give him, you know, give him a shout out because he had a great season up until the injury.
Not agree, man. He had that part of that defense. They was playing.
Yeah.
And then the real Cleveland Browns showed up. Right. All right. Any players that took a nosedive?
Well, one that was on my team, fucking Doug Martin. God, he was a horrible pick. I was so annoyed. And the other one is Zach Stacy. Because I know some cats who used a first round pick on him, and it was just like, oh, Trey Martin, where you at? Because damn, he got no time.
Yeah, he fell to hell.
Or Trey Mason, I should say. He got no time.
Zach Stacy was like, he might have been the biggest bust fantasy purposes because he was like a first, high second round pick. He's my number one running back, and by week like what 8 he's gone.
And an honorable mention to Monty Ball because golly, people were pumping him up like, yeah, he that dude in Denver and he didn't do shit. Got replaced by an undrafted free agent. That's all I gotta say. Mm.
Okay, so for me, even though he still put up decent numbers, once again, I have to go with my Eagles. LeSean McCoy had a disappointing season after leaving the league. You know, I mean, like, there were games where he, you know, was like, what, 18 yards? It was just ridiculous. I have no idea. Yeah, like, I mean, I know there were injuries on the offensive line, but just watching him play, he seemed to approach the line, like, a little bit more hesitant. Like, he kind of reverted back to the way he played his rookie season, where he would dance a lot before he actually just hit the hole. And it was just not a good season for him. It just wasn't a good season.
Mm. Yeah, he did. I mean, Jonathan was almost like should have been the number one pick.
Yeah.
Oh, he was my number one pick. LeSean McCoy was my number one pick. And,
damn.
And that's the reason why, I struggled. But I had Le'Veon Bell to balance it out. But LeSean McCoy, I mean, he just watching the games, he didn't have it. As well, a good a season as he did the previous year.
Not at all.
Yeah, he did underachieve a lot. Mine, and just because he was a risky player to begin with, and I wasn't going to take him, I knew somebody would. Cordarrelle Patterson was hyped the hell up this season.
He was.
And after the first two weeks, he basically was like, yeah, you can drop him. I was like, what the hell? I mean, I'm watching, just like, nah, Cordarrelle, what? Nah, I don't want.
But I picked him late, and
I was like, thank God.
I had it for a moment, then I had to drop him, and I was like, you're gone. But you know who I forgot to mention? And I don't know if it's underachieving, if they really are just, I call him the Chupacabra anyway, is Jay Cutler. Because when you have all that talent in Chicago that they have on offense, and you play the way Jay Cutler played, I there's no reason for it. There's absolutely no reason. Like, he had no heart. Just like, I got my money, I could care less, I don't give a fuck, whatever. Don't care.
Damn.
He was horrible.
Yeah, he at least tried to show some emotion.
Yeah.
After that press conference, he got benched. But yeah, he disappointed because I was like, dude, I had Brandon Marshall. I expected some more. I'm just like, y'all sucked in that division.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got weapons everywhere.
They were very Cowboys
everywhere. Tight end. Mm-hmm. Right. Tight end, wide receiver, running back. I mean, you have Matt Forte. You have Martellus Bennett, who still had a great season, by the way. Martellus Bennett had a really good season. You have Alshon Jeffrey. I don't understand how they weren't better offensively. Defensively, they were supposed to be horrible.
Yeah.
But offensively, they were supposed to be way better. And just you would think they would luck into yards. He would luck into something because you have all this talent. Yeah.
Because he had the QB whisper.
Yep.
And that
lasted a year. He didn't speak loud enough into that boy's ear.
Oh, man. But yeah, man, that was a good season after all. I do have one question. for you, Kima, before we head to break with football. How do you feel, because I haven't had a chance to ask a woman this, how do you feel being an NFL fan as a woman and what transpired this season? How do you feel about the NFL? Like, do they appreciate you? Do they want your viewership? Or are you kind of feeling like there's more that they can do?
I feel like the NFL wants my viewership because they want everybody's viewership because that translates into dollars. But I don't think they care about women any more than they care about players. I think that they say a lot of different things. And I think the best way to just put this in perspective is just taking the Ray Rice incident as it was, regardless of whether or not they saw the what happened in the elevator, they knew that something like that had to have happened in order for the video that they did see. And they saw that and they decided two games, you know. So for them to later on be like, oh, we were, you know, we were misled. Not true. We didn't understand. We didn't believe, you know, we didn't know it was that bad. Well, what did you think happened? She was knocked out. What did you think happened? And then for them to be like, we're going to change our domestic violence policy. And they changed it. And even when they changed it, they still didn't lengthen Ray Rice's suspension, because they could have at that point. That was before the second tape came out. They could have said, you know what, we're going to just add these other six games on because it's now, you know, eight games for a first time offender. But they didn't. They were like, oh, we still stand by that two game suspension for Ray Rice because, you know, that was then. But going forward, it's going to be eight. And then, you know, the tape comes out and now all of a sudden they're like, oh, you know, we care about women's rights. No, you don't. No, you don't. You care because the National Organization of Women were calling you out and were asking for your demanding your resignation. You care because it was the lead off on Good Morning America and the Today Show. You don't. They don't really care about women's issues and, you know, violence against women. They just care about how it reflects upon the league. And now that there's social media and people are paying attention to it, now it's like, okay, we have to put out a response. But overall, they don't give a shit because it's not new. These things aren't new. This has been happening for a long time, and they didn't care then. They would give a suspension, maybe, maybe not. They swept it under the rug, you know. I mean, like the whole Dave Meggett thing went on for years, and granted, that was under Tagliabue, but still, they don't care about women's issues. They just want to be able to pat themselves on the back and say, we, you know, we've done something. That's why they have these stupid commercials that they're like, I can't talk, I'm speechless. Really? That's what you came up with?
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm pissed off about that. I fucking hate those commercials. They have these actors, and they're crying.
I see them all the time.
They're paid to cry on cue. Right.
And I'm just kind of like, look, I understand it's a sensitive subject. It ain't that fucking hard to talk about. I'm sorry. No offense to anybody. It can't be that difficult to bring up a conversation. I mean, of course, you're going to go do it in public. But I mean, one-on-one, you talking to somebody. If you got to speak on it, speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know something's wrong, address the situation. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really care for those commercials because
the commercials are stupid.
Yeah, they're dumb.
First of all, they're stupid because, like you said, you can talk about it. And we have been talking about it. We talked about it all season. So to sit there and say that you're speechless, you don't know how to start. I'm sorry. The conversation got started quite easily once that tape came out.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
People were openly talking about it. Football players were talking about it. Football analysts were talking about it. The general public was talking about it. So to say you don't know how to start the conversation, I'm sorry. What the fuck? Were you not paying attention? It already started. So, yeah, I hate that. I don't think they care. I think they just want to pat themselves on the back and say, look, we hire women. It's like the Rooney Rule. They like to be able to say, oh, we did these things and we have this in place. So in case somebody questions it, they can say, but look what we did. We instituted this policy. But you don't really care.
Right. Not hearing on that.
And on top of that, I'll say this. I'm not even certain it's their place to care. You know, that's a whole other issue. But when they say that they do, don't patronize me, because you really don't. I would rather they just say, you know what happens off the field, we're just going to try to work through the legal system and blah, blah, blah. But don't tell me you care. Put out these little bullshit penalties and fines and stuff like that and suspensions for some things, and then create this exempted list, which nobody ever heard of before. Like, hey, you want to stash a player? Let's go ahead and put you over here.
That was bullshit.
Like, where did that even come from? Like, where did that even come from?
Yeah, I mean, y'all could have been using this.
Right. But never before, and you didn't think of it before? Like, you didn't think of it, like, originally? So, no. That whole thing, I don't like being patient patronized by it. So either you care or you don't. They don't care. So stop pretending like you do and just move forward and try to make better decisions going forward.
I feel you. I feel you on that. All right, y'all. So, you know, that's our take on the NFL happenings. You know, the season is over with. We will miss it. I'm sure we'll still be talking it through the next coming months with, of course, the NFL draft. And NFL does a good job of staying in the public.
So it never ends.
No, it never does. Nope. They keep you glued. All right, y'all. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, get into some NBA talk. You know, this All-Star weekend is coming along. We're going to preview that. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
There's a long road ahead of me. You'll never get a better seat than right there on your sofa, listening to my second CD. And since asleep, I've been constantly wrestling me. Had to face reality and actually question defeat. See, I think it's all because I'm light-skinned. The ones hating on me is these motherfucking white kids. I mean, jeez, you should see all of the disses, all the sucker dick. I kill you, fucking bitch. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? I thought it was rapping for the kids, not rapping for you. Yo, you simply don't exist. Won't pay attention to the henchmen who were sent in to prevent me from possessing everything I ever wanted. No, I am not a product, knock off, back stock, last option. I'm a full thought process, define hypothesis. A why not, who, how, what if. I'm always thinking how it's all about confidence. Cause if you're thinking negative, then by God it is. What you think about it turns it into how you live. I wanna be rich, six kids in a sick crib. Pushing a whip, that wall trip, give the six rip for. And no shit, this is what these bitches strip for. With real tits, this is what they suck dick for. And no lie, it costs to be alive. And I'm lucky cause I feel I got an extra set of eyes on me. Washing, making sure it's done properly. And making sure I earn that waterfront property. Cause nothing's handed to you, you gotta demand it, dude. Not only must you know it, but you gotta understand it too. A young man just started standing on my two. Started planting a garden, planning for the future. With that, who needs a feature? I got 16s that'll leave them in a wheelchair. I've been real way before my first pube hair. Or way before I first played truth or dare. But I chose truth. Those who hoax, I will expose you. There's no room for balloon egos and vocals. Pro tools doesn't really mean you flow, fool. And I'm a pro. This is flowing through my nostrils.
All right, y'all. We're back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So we'd love to know your thoughts on the football season as a whole. You can talk Super Bowl too. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. TheBrothersLayman at gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. Or on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Let us know how y'all feel about that last play. Let us know how you feel about Marshawn Lynch pleading the fifth. Let us know. We will definitely get back at you.
Holla. That's what's up. Yeah, so we're getting close to the halfway point of the NBA. Well, we are at the halfway point of the NBA. All-Star Weekend is here. We're going to preview that weekend because I know everybody looking forward to it up in the New York. Mm-hmm. But first, we got to cover some news that's been going on. First one that dropped this morning, Blake Griffin out indefinitely.
Oh, my God.
Have surgery for a staph infection in his elbow.
No bueno for the Clippers because, damn, their defense was already shaky. Now it's just, good Lord, they got no offense besides Chris Paul.
Yeah, him and Crawford, but that's, I mean, Blake Griffin is your best player.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was 22, I don't remember, boards, 5 assists. He was a really good season.
He's having a great season. And, I mean, they're what, 7th?
I think they're tied.
Yeah, they're 7th.
Oh, they're 7th in the conference?
They're 7th in the conference right now. So, I mean, they've given Phoenix an opening to creep up and take that spot. And they're not careful. They could fall out.
The Spurs is moving up.
Damn.
If the Clippers
don't make the playoffs, man.
Yo.
If the Clippers don't make the playoffs, I am really going to say, Doc.
He's
going to
be feeling the pressure.
What's happening, bro? What's happening?
Yeah, they had high expectations. Oh, I mean, I said it at the beginning of the season that they were one of the top. Well, they were 5th out of the top 5 teams that I thought could compete for a championship, and they are falling the hell off. Questions with the wing position. Redick's been out. I mean, this is a bad blow.
This is a huge blow.
I mean,
absolutely.
They're gonna fight, of course, but I mean, they needed to make the Western Conference Finals to at least stave off some of that pressure, and that we're gonna have to take some dynamite to this situation. But doesn't help.
In their first game without him, they gave up 131 points to OKC. Good Lord.
I caught a little
bit. Blown out by Cleveland. I got blown out by the damn Thunder.
Yeah.
I caught some of that game earlier. It was not a pretty game. Pretty at all.
I bet it wasn't, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they've been having some issues. Since we talking about the Clippers. Yeah, I saw that game where they were getting blown out by Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And those weird four technicals in the span. Like, it was five, but it was like four in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul was venting his frustration about the reffing, the referees.
Yep.
And it seemed like one in particular was being mentioned the most.
Mm-hmm.
God. I don't even know her name, but I mean, I'll ask you, Kim, what was your take on it? I know I've heard Jonathan. I know he about to come with it. What's your take on that whole situation with the female ref, who is a rookie? She's not the first, but you know, with that kind of the comment that was said about if you're not,
this may not be for her.
Yeah, this may not be for you. If this is how it's going to be, this may not be for you.
There's absolutely. Absolutely nothing wrong with what Chris Paul said. Absolutely nothing wrong to me. He was talking about a rookie ref. He's not talking about gender and that. He's talking about if you're going to make that type of call, you make that type of technical foul call in that moment, this is not for you. He can't say he's talking about her to somebody else. He can't say this is not for him because it's a woman. You know, I mean, he had to say this is not for her the way he said it. I didn't think it was sexist at all. And I think it does a disservice to real sexism issues when everything gets painted with the sexist brush. That's not. I didn't think it was sexist at all, and I think that fining him $25,000 for it was ridiculous. Unless you're going to say it was just about him questioning the ref's call, you know, which they do anyway. Like, if you question the refs, you're like, ooh, wrong. But I don't think there was anything sexist about it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, because Jonathan called me and went. He was like,
I went nuts because I'm just like, I'm sitting here and everybody and their mama is going ballistic. And I'm like, what the fuck did he say that was so bad? If it was a similar situation, all things considered, everything played out the same, and it was a rookie male coach, I think he would have said the same thing. If this fool's going to be making these idiotic calls, this may not be for him.
Yep.
It just so happened he had to substitute to him for her. To describe who he was speaking
about. The person.
About.
Right.
I don't see the big deal. And the fact that people went nuts on this, I'm like, this is exactly why I praise Marshawn Lynch for keeping his fucking mouth shut. Because anytime you open your mouth and say something, it always seems like everybody has to try to find a subtle message, a secret coding that you have within the confines of your words, when all you're really trying to say is, what I said is what I said. If I need to take a dump, that means I'm taking a dump. It doesn't mean, you know, I'm going outside to go play basketball. That ain't what it means. It means I got to go to the bathroom, nigga. I mean, gee whiz, a spade is a spade. Sometimes that's just what it is. And people, we live in such a sensitive society.
Yes, we do.
You can't say anything. And again, this is why I don't blame guys like Marshawn Lynch who don't want to talk to the fucking media. Because if I say something, you're going to flip it around and make it a big deal when it's not really a big deal at all. Period.
I'm like, what was he supposed to say in that moment? That's
you.
The part that I don't understand. How was he supposed to describe the referee that he was talking about in that moment? It was a pronoun. I don't understand. Like, what was he supposed to say? He wasn't happy with the call. I don't blame him for not being happy with the call. And he talked about it. And they asked him about it. That was the other thing. It wasn't like he just started randomly talking
about it. And no offense to women, no offense to any women on that are listening at all. But if we're going to talk about women want equal rights, everybody wants to be equal, everybody wants the same thing, we have to take the good with the bad. It can't just be, well, women should be allowed to do such and such, but they don't take, you know, the backlash that men get, and vice versa. I mean, it has to go both ways. You can't sit here and have a female referee, but
we can't bash her because she's a female. That's right. Bullshit. I'm like, refs get bashed all the time. So I'm like, if you're going to go into a profession that, you know, is majority men or whatever it may be, you have to understand that you're going to take a little bit of backlash. You know, you got to know what you're stepping into. If you're going into a profession where you get a lot of criticism, well, then you got to go in knowing you probably going to get some criticism if you fuck up. I mean, that's, right. I mean, honestly, and people act like, well, she's a female, so we have to take it a little bit easy on her. No, she is a referee, and she did a piss poor job along with the rest of them refs, but she happened to be the one that he was talking about.
Right. Probably. I think this is no where the NBA, if the NBA actually made their refs available for comment, I would love to hear her comments on it. I would love to hear her actually say, you know, what she felt about it, if she thought that she was getting, you know, being singled out, because I feel like she would probably, I'm speaking for her, I don't know her, I don't even know her name, which is horrible, but I feel like she would probably be like, no, it wasn't about me being a woman, he was just unhappy with the call. And I think that people, analysts in the media, do a disservice to the women who are doing these types of jobs by making a bigger deal of it, when I bet you if you ask these women specifically, they'd probably be like, no, it wasn't that big of a deal, let it go. But we can't talk.
I told my brother, I'm like, I want to hear what she has to say on the matter. Because in all honesty, she's the only one whose opinion I care about. I give two shits about anybody else's opinion on the matter because that's it. It's an opinion. You specifically were not affected by his comments. He was not talking to you. He was talking to her. So I would love to hear, like you said, what she had to say on the matter. And I agree with you. I'm sure she'd be like, it's par for the course. It's part of my job.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal. I've heard worse. And, you know, and she probably has
her. She probably has.
So.
And even fucking whatever. Becky Hammon, your assistant coach on your Spurs bench, came out and even said the same thing. She didn't see the big deal with what he said. I'm like, thank you. Good Lord. I don't understand. Even Michelle Roberts came out and said it ain't a big deal. I don't understand the big hoopla about it.
Personally. Yeah, I mean.
I understand the fine. I get the fine. Yeah, but
I don't think he was being sexist at all. I think he was, look. Clippers were getting their ass kicked.
Yes.
From jump. Right. I mean, they were getting embarrassed. And, you know, Matt Barnes, there was a bad call on Matt Barnes.
The bad got him call on DeAndre Jordan, too.
You know, people was, you know, of course, once the refs start calling stuff tight, you can't just vent as you would normally vent. You're going to have to, you know, maybe hold it back a little bit. When I read the comment... I read it. I was like, oh, he's gonna be light in the pocket, because the way it was worded, I was like, they gonna take that as it can be taken as he's insulting her, the woman, and not just her. The ref, you know, he could have got fined, period, for that, because they don't like you criticizing the referees,
right?
But yeah, it was way out of balance. You know, I'm like, he's been running with Michelle Roberts, you know, who is the you know, over the Players Association. It was just like, yeah, but yeah, I agree. It's like, they was mad because they was getting their ass kicked. And they just was, they venting because they losing, they don't like it. And, you know, after a while, it's going to blow away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what happens.
Yeah.
So that right there was the definition of the media creating a controversy where there was none.
And social media at that.
Yeah, anytime it's with something that's somebody could be offended by it, then they're going to make a big deal about it, like they will be. Talking about them Cavs, you know, blew the Lakers out today. They had a 12-game win streak. LeBron came back. Magic. Mm-hmm. Everything's back to normal. Now everybody can get back on the train.
Yep.
Everybody who had a foot off was like, oh, wait, 12 in a row. I'm back. They winning the championship. I'm back. I do think some of the acquisitions are starting to work themselves out. Mozgov there at least is a deterrent. You know, J.R. Smith so far, you know, has been a team player and get hot, but I think LeBron James comes back, had time to rest, and I think LeBron's more focused. Personally, I think that's part of the main reason why they on this hot streak now.
I think he's more focused, but I think it just, you know, you have personalities coming together It's kind of like what happened in Miami, because they struggled out the gate too in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. Was it a mistake? Blah, 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 whatever. When Cleveland was struggling earlier, I was like, it's growing pains. You have a very strong, you have young personality in Kyrie. And then you have, you know, LeBron being like, hey, I've already won. I know what I'm doing. You know, you're just going to have a clash in the beginning where everybody tries to figure out how to make it work. So I'm not surprised that they finally started winning. I mean, talent's going to rise to the top at some point.
No, it will. They weren't going to be this bad. I think they're just starting. Actually, starting to gel, play a little bit better defense. They still got a ways to go.
Absolutely.
But they have to feel good. And you know, from what I've heard, somebody said they go in streaks when it comes to winning losses.
Well, I mean, their schedule is going to get a little bit harder after the All-Star break. They're going to start playing a few more playoff teams than mm-hmm. they have been. So we'll see. They've hit a little light area in their schedule and been able to capitalize, which is what you're supposed to do.
They're only three and a half games out of, like, you know, second place at this point in the East. So
yeah, they're hanging in there. I mean, that's all you want to do. Just play well toward the end of the season and get behind the damn Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
Shout out to them.
Balling.
I had a 19-game winning streak, a perfect 17-0 in January. I mean, they had all five Hawks starters named Player of the Month. Do y'all have an issue with that?
Nope.
Nope, not at all. Okay.
I loved it.
I didn't either, because I'm like, they ain't right. going to do it every month.
That's what, when you don't have a star player.
A dominant star player.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, like a dominant superstar. You know, that you should do something like that, because it is a team effort. They don't have that one guy who, you know, is elite or known by everybody in the nation and all that. They scrappy and they play hard. And shit, more power to them, because they are whooping ass right now.
I mean, 17-0.
They got the best record in the league.
Yeah, and
beating. Yes.
Yeah, weren't beating no slouch team. I mean, they was beating, like, quality teams.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. ended up having that great game against Golden State. I mean, yeah. they taking care. They're gelling. I'm happy for all the folks out in Atlanta. Atlanta fans are like, finally. I mean, their team, they were scrappy, not really going deep in the playoffs much, but this is a great turnaround season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm curious, right? So I was in Atlanta last year when they were playing the Pacers in the playoffs, and there was, like, nobody going to those games.
Told you.
It was ridiculous. There were a lot of Pacers fans walking around wearing the little jerseys and stuff, and they were selling playoff tickets for $16. Can you imagine that? Playoff tickets for $16.
Whooping on the Pacers.
I can't even imagine that.
The cheapest Super Bowl right. tickets were like 10 G's.
Right. So I'm curious to see. Like, I know that technically Atlanta's attendance, you know, last year wasn't as horrible as it seemed. Like, if you watch the games, the arena was empty. But I'm actually really curious to see if people are really going to come out and support this team this year, because they deserve it. They definitely deserve it. They haven't supported them the way they should have been the last couple of years.
I think they will. I think. Well, at least when I lived out there, I told Chris they didn't really promote the team very much. They didn't. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of billboards. There weren't many, you know, promotions on TV for them and things like that. They just didn't pump the team up. Yeah. And it seems like this squad is almost like they're almost like the underdogs that you root for.
Right.
Because they don't have that superstar player. And I think that is going to motivate, you know, not just Atlanta, but the nation to start rooting for these guys. And I think you will start seeing a little bit more of a following for these guys, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah,
because they still going to be the underdogs in the playoffs.
Right.
Regardless of how good they are.
Yep.
Cleveland's winning. That's what you're going to get. I'm serious.
What about Chicago? Really?
I ain't sleeping on my Bulls. Yeah, they coasting right now. They piss me off a little bit, and they better beat Orlando today. But I think come after the All-Star break, I think that's when they're going to start revving it up. I think Derrick Rose is going to rev it up a little bit more. And I think defensively they're going to start locking Cavs down again like it's nothing.
No, they have to get their defense up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they in the mix. They still hanging around.
Right. Them and the Wizards.
I ain't tripping.
I thought it would be between the Wizards and Chicago coming down the stretch. Like, before the season started, that's who I thought it would be, like, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It still may be.
Yeah, he would love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even the Wizards kind of they're hitting a little bump right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've gone 3-7. They've tapered off. But, you know, it's the first half.
Exactly.
Yeah. They made it to the, you know, almost there. What y'all think? The Orlando Magic tried. They put it along. Season wasn't going as well as they expected. So, bye-bye, Jacques Vaughn. It's like,
not surprised.
I mean, they gave us a warning. Like, oh, his job is in jeopardy.
Right.
Through this stretch of great teams taking L's.
I mean, look. I mean, Jacques Vaughn, he's respectable, but at the same time, he's not really a coach that's going to take you to the next level. I mean, plus, I mean, Orlando, they don't have a whole lot to work with anyway. You got a few pieces here and there, but
I mean, you got young talent. It's just, you know,
they're Philly-esque.
Yeah, I watched the press conference, and they were just like, you know,
why did you bring up my?
Oh,
I like the 76ers though. I can appreciate what the 76ers are doing. I don't crap on the 76ers like I do some of these other wannabe tanking teams. I don't think Philly's tanking. I just think they have young talent that is learning the game and learning how to play together. There's a difference.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I do think they're planning long term. They're getting guys who you would figure like nowadays, if you like, all right, if you knew Blake Griffin was going to be hurt his rookie year, but then ball the next season, would you still take Blake Griffin? Yes.
Noel was supposed to be the number one pick. Embiid was supposed to be the number one pick. Well, shit, why, you know? I ain't mad at him for taking him.
Noel gonna get shopped. I can see that. It's hard taking.
And this kid, Robert Covington, he is on my fantasy team. He is balling. Yeah. I like that kid. They got young talent. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if they get the number one pick, they need to trade it for a star player. Get them a star veteran player.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Yeah. They need that stability. They need that leadership because they don't have that right now.
Exactly.
And they need one guy who can, you know,
who can be that dude.
At least could be that dude for a minute. But yeah, Orlando, yeah, you know, I know they got, you know, Oladipo's all right. And rookie Payton's playing okay. Tobias Harris is basically
they talking
the start
about he going to the Knicks.
Who, Tobias Harris?
Talking about he want to play in New York.
And she said he want to play in New York?
That's what I hear. Oh, grapevine.
Good. Well, they need all the help they can get.
I'm like, why?
He probably wants to.
I think he's from the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, well, if they bad, at least let me be bad on the Knicks. Yeah. You know, they ain't got nowhere to go but up.
So. I'm like, right. Like, you're going to go from Orlando to the Knicks. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I guess he figures the turnaround will probably be quicker for
Knicks. We'll see about that. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No, with injuries, Kemba Walker has surgery on his torn lateral meniscus, out 6 weeks.
I'm glad I traded him.
Yeah, I know you did.
Even it though didn't even matter because I got Kobe and he's out for the season.
The person you traded for out 9 months, Kobe Bryant, after successful surgery. Lakers expect him to be ready for next season with his farewell tour. That's what next season is Kobe's farewell tour. Doesn't matter what else is going on with the Lakers. Get the draft pick. After the draft, let's start preparing for the Black Mamba's final run.
Final hurrah, huh?
Yeah. I hate it for Kemba Walker.
Well, I fell for him.
Man, dude's getting hurt, man. I don't know. That's
the way the season started out that way. Kevin Durant getting hurt.
Yeah, and they got Anthony Davis hurt.
Yeah.
He took that fall.
Oof. I saw that game. Oof, that was ugly.
That's gonna be that's my only question with Anthony Davis. He's had
a lot of injuries. He got a slew of
seasons
injuries.
With a lot of injuries and not being able to finish. So that is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Let's get into this. This is All-Star Weekend. Jumping off New York City. I know it's gonna be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already seen on social media where six girls are trying to rent a room. Well, can they just crash with you? I've seen that on Twitter. It became a big thing. They were like, girls just adding. She was like, yeah, can we crash with you? Oh, how many of y'all? Six. They're like, why don't you put some money together?
Why don't y'all get some money and get a room?
Right.
Because they ain't got no money. There you go. Gold diggers, as we call them.
Hey, man. You, man, and it's in New York City, too. Man.
Yeah.
It's like.
People going crazy.
Ring the bell. Come on out, ladies.
Like when it was
come
in Atlanta, out here in L.A., crap, man. Please.
Oh, if it was, Atlanta, you know it was like, what was that movie? Player Club.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, they here. You know that's how it's going to be. I tell this every year.
New York City? Please.
Folk, please Be safe.
Yeah.
Bring your condoms.
Absolutely.
Because it's...
Be smart. Don't be Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't be that.
Don't be Greg Anthony.
No.
Right. Don't be those dudes.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to. There should be a plethora of women who are, you know, depending on your size of your wallet, will enjoy your company.
How about you bring your girl or your wife?
Yeah, that's obvious.
Just have a vacation.
Yeah, y'all. I'm going to be over here. Here's some money. Go spend. Have a good time. We're going to this party.
Be with your family. Yes, yes.
Yeah, we should make a clock. We should clock it. Like, all right, from this all-star, let's count 9 months.
I would love to just get a glimpse of everybody there and just count the number of people that got their significant other, about like five of them, a handful.
Some of the veterans. Some.
Some.
No, the disturbing thing would be the ones that have their significant others there, but still manage to, you know, indulge in pride.
It's crazy. God, that's crazy.
So it's going to be nuts. But, you know, I'm ready for all these events. So we're going to preview these events. Let's start off with the Friday night. Friday night, we got the Rising Stars Challenge. Yeah. Got a new format. I know this is every year. It seems like they change the format.
Yep, for something.
This one I kind of dig. You know, Team U.S. versus guys from overseas. U.S. versus world format.
World's gonna kick their ass. I'm telling you that right now because them cats overseas much more fundamentally sound than these young cats over here. They gonna whoop their ass. I'm telling you right now.
Mm.
Called it.
You said, what, 10 of the top 15 picked from 2013 drafting here. The U.S. team, you got Trey Burke, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Michael Carter-Williams, Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, Nerlens Noel, Victor Oladipo, Efree Payton, Mason Plumlee, and Cody Zeller.
Who is on the world team?
The world team, you got Steven Adams. I'm going to try this. The Greek freak, I'm going to try this. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm finally messing it up. Garik Dien from Minnesota, Dante Exum, Robert Gobert from Utah, too. Nikolai Mirotic, your boy. Kelly Olynyk from the Celtics, and Dennis Schroeder from the Hawks. Oh, and of course, everybody's favorite for Rookie of the Year, Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, yeah, he's Canadian.
Canadian.
Well, again, world's going to kick their ass. Just look at the rosters. It's not even fair. World got way better players. I'm telling you right now. It's a wrap, son. It's a wrap.
I would say with Wiggins and Dante Exum is an exciting backcourt.
And I will give Wiggins his props. He's starting to come out to play much better. So I give him his props.
But you think they're going to blow out the
U.S.? I think they're going to kick the USA's ass and prove a point. And prove a point. U.S., get your game up. Because these Euros and these guys from overseas know how to play the game. And I mean really know how to play the game. They ain't just athletic and that's it. They know how to use that athleticism to their advantage. Come on now. I'm serious.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. They said they had to pick four guards, four forwards, and two utility. At least three first-year and three second-year player. And these were chosen by the assistant coaches. And you got, of course, the assistant coaches for the Hawks and the Warriors, who are the coaches for the All-Star team. They get to do that, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some love. I know the celebrity, you know, when you had Weber and Barkley picking. At this point with this, I like that. We'll see how it goes next season. But I actually dig the U.S. versus the world. Kind of give some love to all the overseas guys that come in and recognize that it's a gang of them, and they here.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Kimba, any favorite for this game?
Of course I'm going to be rooting for Carter Williams. You know that. So I'm rooting I got to root for the Sixers, you know, so I'm rooting for, you know, the USA team. I don't think they have a shot of winning, but I'm going to hope they pull off the upset.
Do you think he's going to, all this trade rumors, you think they're going to flip him soon, or? Do you hope that he stays, or?
I hope he stays, but I think they're going to flip him.
Okay.
I feel like the 76ers, man, I don't know. I don't. I look what they do, and I'm like, my father calls me, and he's like, what are they doing? And he's very upset by the trade rumors and everything. And I'm like, Daddy, I don't know. He's like, I just don't understand. And I'm like, that's where I'm at. I just don't really understand. I want to believe. I want to hope. I would like to keep him, but I think they're gonna train him.
Yeah, you know, I don't see why yet, unless you're gonna get something a whole lot better.
Exactly.
But yeah,
and I don't know what that is, right? No,
right? Okay. Then we're moving on to Saturday night, which is sometimes the best night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start off with all the events. The one that, do y'all like the little Shooting Stars game with the NBA, the vet, and the really WNBA? Do y'all like that?
I don't care per se. I mean, it's a cool little idea, but it really doesn't make a difference, especially now, because it used to be a way the format was, you would pit guys that were on the same teams. Like you have an old school player from Miami and then a current player from Miami and then maybe a WNBA Miami player. But now they just all over the place. So it don't make sense to me anymore. And I really don't care.
I don't care about it. I never did. I never liked it. It was one of those things. I was just like, it was filler before you got to the 3-point contest. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, it is. It's basically who can make a half court shot.
Right.
But the participants, you got Team Bosch, Chris Bosch, Dominique Wilkins, and Swing Cash, which is probably everybody's favorite.
Don't make no sense.
Back-to-back.
There's no connection there.
No. Yeah, I don't get that. Team Curry has Stephen Curry, Dale Curry, and Sue Bird. All right. Alton Bayer. I do like seeing Steph and his dad play together.
Yeah, that's cool.
Team Davis, you got Anthony Davis, Scottie Pippen, Elena Delle-Dome. I guess she plays for Chicago. Like, okay. And, well, I guess New Orleans close to Chicago.
Connection? Again,
Then you got Team Westbrook with Russell Westbrook, Penny Hardaway, and Tamika Catchings. Yeah, they just putting dudes together.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Holy man.
I like to see the Currys win, but, you know, it's all like it's a crapshoot. This is a nice little appetizer.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. You're just like, oh, okay, all right.
Good for y'all.
Going to see some shots go up. Cool. I'm cool with that. All right, then we're on to the Taco Bell Skills Challenge.
You already know who I'm rooting for. Ain't no need to ask me. Jimmy Butler, go ahead. The only non-point guard in it. I hope he kicks their ass, too.
Yeah, these are weird with the non-point guards. I dig the event. I don't love it. I loved it early on, but now it's kind of like, I'm sorry, but I do like it. There's a little competition to it. They're doing it bracket style this year. So one bracket, you got Isaiah Thomas and John Wall versus Michael Carter Williams, Jeff Teague. And then on the other side, you got Trey Burke, Brandon Knight, and you got Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry. And they're doing it like NC2A style, which, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, three rounds. By the third round, folk might get a little tired.
Yep.
That is a lot. He's like, damn, a third round?
Seriously.
Okay. All right. It's better than the team one last year. The team one was kind of stupid.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, Damian Lillard was like, I'm not participating. More on him coming up. But I know you pulling for so that means, Kimber, you pulling for Michael Carter Williams.
Yep.
There it is.
You know, I'm getting some love. I like to see. I get some love, Jeff Teague. I see Jeff Teague win it this season. Show off them point guard skills. That's different, but okay. The event that I actually have loved ever since I got a chance to watch it as a kid. Now, to me, I think it's probably the best event during the weekend. The 3-point contest, and this lineup is crazy this year.
I agree.
Crazy.
I agree on being the best. Event. I think it's the best event of the weekend.
I do too. I mean, you got.
I still always question sometimes who they put in.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I mean, what this year you got reigning champ Marco Bellinelli.
Yep.
You got Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. And Klay Thompson.
Yep. And Klay Thompson. You got Kyle Korver.
Mm-hmm.
We got Wesley Matthews.
Absolutely.
JJ Redick.
That's right.
And then you got, you know, James Harden, who can shoot.
Who's a good 3-point shooter.
And you got Kyrie Irving. Okay.
And then you got Kyrie Irving. Yeah. I still have never equated him with a 3-point threat like that. Like, I'm sorry. Can he shoot threes? Yes. I'm like, James Harden to me is a much better, he's a 3-point threat. Yeah. Kyrie, I'm like, if he gets hot, he's hitting them. But on a regular basis, he ain't really just knocking down threes like that. I don't know. When I think of threes, I don't think of him.
No, I don't either.
I'd like to say I still claim Kyle Korver for the Sixers, so I'm rooting for him.
I'm rooting for the Great White Hope.
Yeah, man, it's you know, I mean, of course, I'm a Spurs fan. I like to see Bellinelli take it again.
Of course.
But, man, I was like, ooh. Yeah. See, I like guys who I know, like, they shoot, I want you taking a three-point shot.
Right.
And
exactly.
Kyrie Irving, not really. James Harden, I think more of that is because you get to see, arguably, top two people running for MVP right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the best event, so that's cool. I dig that. But I like the fact that out of eight of these, at least six of these dudes I would think of when I think of three-pointers.
Yes.
So I'm like, I like that. I think this is going to be good. I'm going to make sure I'm taping it or I'm at least sitting down because this one might be for real. I mean, even with, you know, of course, you got the Splash Brothers going against each other. That's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, two rounds, top three to meet to the final. And, of course, we got the dunk contest, finishing things off.
They put it back to the way it was.
Well, yes. That whole last year God. With the team. And
they were grading the damn practice round. Like, that was so stupid.
Yeah, the team round, that, you know what, to me, that was very like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like them games where somebody lives up and then you go up like you're about to dunk and you throw it up in the air. Somebody jump over your head and dunk. That was what that round was to me. But then it's like all the participants aren't chosen equally.
Exactly.
Which I didn't like. But, yeah, they're going back to the regular, you know, two-round event. You get two chances each, three attempts, you know, no time
maximum
limit.
Three attempts.
Yep, you got three times to make a dunk. And you got the Greek freak.
None of that Nate Robinson crap.
Yeah, I
hate that. Oh, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Andre Iguodala was robbed. I'm just
Yes, he was.
Robbed.
Absolutely.
He was robbed. If it takes Nate Robinson 25 times to pull it off, it should count. It just shouldn't count. The fuck? That was just ridiculous.
Like, oh, well, he did it. Okay. I'm like,
and?
He probably did it down behind the rim, under. It took him two. He messed up.
Twice.
Like, oh, it's not right. Okay. Bam. Came over. That was it.
Right.
But then I was like, give it to the little dude.
Like, this is why I'm like, you got to put a maximum limit on the amount of times you can do something.
But you know what? I haven't liked it since then. I'm still pissed about that. I'm still mad about that one. Because that
I know
like,
a lot of people who are. I ain't mad at you.
So we got the Greek Freak. We got Giannis. You got Zach LaVine, Victor Oladipo, Mason Plumlee. Who you like?
The Greek Freak. He's got length for days. I'm very curious to see what he's going to try to pull out of the hat. Because he had like a damn growth spurt going into this year. He's 6'11 and got like a 7-foot wingspan. It's ridiculous. I want to see some of the GOAT type shit where he like grab the ball from the top of the backboard and throw it down. Something sick and ridiculous. That's what I want to see.
I have no faith I'm going to see anything exciting or anything new. I feel like it's just going to be like, okay. I think there's going to be some nice dunks. I think the Greek Freak will probably win. But I have my expectations for this event are so low now. It's just kind of like, okay, just complete the dunks and, you know. We'll see.
Yeah.
It is hard when you kind of see the N1 dudes and you're just like, ah, damn.
Well, right.
And the NBA cats can't do this. And
because Vince Carter killed it.
Yes.
Vince Carter killed the slam dunk contest. Yeah. He shut that bitch
nobody
down.
Who was like, I'm going to do that and I'm going to top that. You're like,
right.
Nobody can.
It was great.
It was
that
still
was
rough
great.
Then.
Yeah.
You know, but
it was, but it was. Amazing, like arm in the basket, okay.
He put on a show.
Yeah.
That was a show.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's when you're like, yeah, I'm wild. Yeah, I'm one. I got a ticket to this. It's over.
I'm like, if you got to see that dunk contest live, I envy you. Cause damn,
right.
Cause he had good dunk.
And I like how he walked off, like just like it's over. Like he was just telling people it's done,
exactly.
Whatever. And I was
that was
like,
the one he caught with the little arm, caught it, put under his legs, and slammed. You were like.
Over.
The fuck?
Over and done. Right. He the best dunker in the league, period.
Yeah, and those have gotten difficult. I mean, yes, guys I think are more athletic and stuff, but you ain't jumping like where your toe is touching the rim. And with the video games, like I said, the N1 guys, who this is what they do,
yeah,
is do some high flying. Well, like,
you know,
I fall on my face, fine.
Maybe incorporate some of those guys into the All-Star Weekend festivities. Yeah. Plus, you in New York?
Yeah. Well, you know New York.
Come on, bro.
Great. That would have been great.
Yeah. That would have been awesome. Rucker Park and all that? Come on, man.
I wouldn't mind having that. Like, all right, now that we didn't give y'all the NBA, let's have the Rucker Park do come. That's the N1 dudes. I'd be like, yeah, all right, keep the tape rolling.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
You heard it here first.
Right. I'm like, you need to go tell them that and get credit because that's a great idea. It's too late now because it would have been perfect for this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're going to have – that's where all the players going to be. They're going to be watching the N1 dudes playing. I will say you only saw it once, but I am glad that nobody is asking about fucking LeBron James in the dunk contest. I'm glad. I hope that's passed and not coming back anymore.
But wait, they did that Kickstarter fund where they were like donating money to try to get him to participate in it. I don't know how much money it raised, but it had raised a lot of money as like a week though.
At this point, I really don't care anymore. Yeah, like, he's done. I don't want to see him in it now.
If he gets in and does his usual, you're going to give him the win anyway. You just want to end in so you can vote him in. Like, it's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, in his first 5 years, he should have done it. Yep. After that, who cares? Doesn't now matter. You're trying to win championships.
But I don't understand why he didn't want to do it. I've never understood that. Like, why not?
For some reason, I know what some people seem like they don't want that stigma. It became like a stigma where you're a dunker and not like...
an all-around player.
Right.
Right. Clearly, that held Michael Jordan back. Yes, they're right. Yeah.
Dominique Wilkins
and all right. them, you know.
We like to see you do it. Yeah,
clearly that was a problem.
Yeah, even Kobe Bryant won it 1 year. He did it like his first couple of years. Like, all right, I did it. Yeah. And then you get it out the way.
All Vince Carter knew how to do was dunk. He couldn't do nothing else, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Clearly, you know, he didn't go to like the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals in 7. No, that never happened.
Exactly.
You know?
His PR people, I'm surprised, were not like, do it now.
And get it out the way. Over.
No way. If you've done it once, they don't have to ask you again.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. All right. On to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we made our picks last week, and they have decided on who that's going to make the team. So, coming off the bench from the – let's start with the East. You got Chris Bosh, Jimmy Butler, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, and Dwayne Wade. You know, we would decide how many Hawks were going to be. Ended up being all three of the Hawks that we had picked. So, shout out to that. Out West, you had LaMarcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, and Russell Westbrook. Then, okay, well, they had to fill in a – of course, we all know the question. Where the hell is Damian Lillard at?
Thank you. That's all I got to say. How about
– and that was answered today.
Hell, did you leave him off the team?
Yeah, I mean, with Blake Griffin, his injury.
Oh, who cares?
Immediately.
Oh, who gives a shit? Yeah. Immediately. Adam Silver's like, we fucked up. Boop, put him on that team.
Right.
And if I'm Damian Lillard, kiss my ass and fuck your invitation. I should have been on there from Jump Street. Even DeMarcus Cousins told that fool, yeah, you should have been on the team. I know I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul's ass should not have been on that team. I don't care what nobody says. And for the East, how the hell did the Miami Heat get 2 All-Stars with a below 500 record? Please, somebody tell me, because I don't get it.
I don't know how Dwayne Wade made that team.
Thank you.
I actually don't think he's probably not going to play. I'll tell you what, because once you get to the point where your play is at an All-Star level, not saying that you're going to be an all-star if you're dependent on the season. But you're like, is Dwayne Wade an all-star caliber player? Yes. Well, they're going to put him on.
They're the only team below 500 that got more than one all-star. And I don't understand it.
Because
I don't make sense. How you going to snub Brandon Knight, who is leading the Milwaukee Bucks to the playoffs?
Agreed.
And Miami is barely hanging on. No, and they get 2 people?
Yeah, that was
bad. That's kick rocks, man. Kick rocks.
That was funny. And then of course we both had Vucevic on. He didn't make it, which was
bullshit.
I didn't get that either. I mean, I'm like, all right, you gotta recognize that.
Thank you. He Miami took one of his spots. He should have made it over Chris Bosh. Yes,
they went with the whole record
because you can't say it's based off record. They're barely better than Orlando. I mean, what?
Well, because it's Chris Bosh. That's what I'm saying. Chris Bosh.
No, because it's Dwayne Wade. So let's snub guys who deserve it.
If you're an all-star talent and you're healthy and you're putting up decent numbers, you're getting in. Just like how when you didn't pick Kyrie Irving, and how Kyrie was going to get in because
he's Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving is a star player.
And Damian Lillard is not.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, let's get in there.
But, you know, but he, you know what it is? It's about where he plays, unfortunately, too, you know, because he's over on the West Coast and he's in Portland. So they're like, it's not as sexy as other teams. Kyrie Irving plays, you know, for Cleveland and everybody's talking about them. It's unfortunate, but that plays a part, too.
It's Cleveland. Portland's sexier than Cleveland is.
It's LeBron's Cleveland. It's
There it is. I'm surprised Kevin Love didn't get on the damn team.
Right, exactly. It's LeBron's Cleveland. You know, take him off and it's different. It's
Damian Lillard, who has been crushing fools this season. You know what time it is.
Yeah, I know you was picked because I went back to take notes on who we picked, and I listened to yours, and you were like,
one guard spot, you already know. The D Lillard got to get in my All Star team. They ain't no All Star game without Damian Lillard. Time, you know what time it is. And yeah, when the list came out, who was the first person everybody was like, how the hell he not get on the team? Thank you very much. Because it ain't an All Star game if you ain't got Damian Lillard. And I love how he came out and said, "Fuck your skills challenge. I'm not playing shit since y'all ain't picked me." I was not mad at him for being bitter. I wasn't. I was like, you earned it. You earned it, and you didn't get the notoriety. I ain't mad at you for being upset.
I ain't mad at him either. I was how is he turned it down?
Exactly. Yeah, he on the team now. Damn right.
If he turned it down, I wouldn't be mad either. If he was like, nah.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, thanks. If he actually went,
sat in the crowd, and was still like, I'm not playing. I wouldn't be mad.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. I hope he does that, too.
Yeah, he's kind of like just sits on the sideline like, oh.
Yeah, I'm be scared.
Yeah, courtside. What?
Yeah, because it's coming into this after this break. I think he's gonna try to tear it up.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, the other ones are good. I mean, I'm happy for who else made the first team? I mean, Kyle Lowry's first time. Butler, Jeff Teague, they first time. Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. Like my boy, I get why he's on the team. You got to rep the Spurs.
You know damn good well he didn't deserve to be on that team.
He's been the most consistent.
He didn't deserve to be on that team.
I wouldn't have
over Damian Lillard. There's no way in hell.
See, the thing is, I would have had Damian Lillard over. I had Damian Lillard over Chris Paul.
Thank you. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Like Chris Paul,
and then again, your boy Duncan. I mean, that was just a we know who he is.
Right. Out of respect, it's Tim Duncan.
Let's put him on the team.
But I mean, he's having a good season, putting up a double double.
Understand that, but
I feel you that I would have. If it was me, I'd have been like, you know what? I think DeMarcus Cousins needs to get some love because I'm like, hey, for me, Tim Duncan can use the rest. He ain't got to play. I'm cool with that. You know, I mean, it adds on to his resume, but I'm like, give him rest. He can kick it at home. He don't need to be in New York. Let him hang out and let him, you know, oh, we didn't get no Spurs? Okay.
Right.
Let's go.
As long as y'all win again, y'all don't care. Exactly. Tim Duncan's probably play like 3 minutes and that's it, you know.
That's all he's gonna do, which again raises the point: why is he even on the freaking team? He's not even gonna play.
And this,
oh my god!
Yeah, I was.
NBA pisses me off.
But I mean, the coaches, he's been the most consistent.
Some of these coaches, I don't know what's going through their heads.
My point is, it's so many people. I mean, we didn't pick Zach Randolph. We didn't have Monta Ellis.
We kind of leaned on the more obvious candidates.
You picked Dirk. You had Dirk. I mean, you even were like Kevin Durant should make the team
because he ain't playing enough.
But I agree with that. What'd you say?
I agree with that Kevin Durant didn't play enough.
If you don't play at least half the damn season, you don't deserve to be on the All-Star team. I don't give a shit if you're LeBron. You don't unless you're voted in by the fans. You shouldn't be voted onto the team. That doesn't make any sense.
I would agree there should be a minimum number of games. But you know, because it's for the fans and Kevin Durant, second best player in the league.
They could have voted him in, but they didn't vote him in.
Who was that? Yeah. But, you know, the coaches, because if he didn't make it, it was going to be a shitstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is Kevin Durant? So you saying Kevin Durant not an all-star? I'm like, no, I'm saying Kevin Durant, because of time missed, there's other people
who deserve to be on in front of him.
Ain't nobody saying he.
And maybe
better.
That would have like spurred Kevin Durant on in the second half, and you don't know. He might take that as a snub and put on a chip on his shoulder and have like this amazing second half season. You don't know. It might work in his favor if you like keep him off the All Star team.
Exactly. I hope that's what Damian Lillard does. F this All Star game.
See, now I know the commissioner's talking about maybe expanding it You know, but which kind of like, well, how many people, who's going
to
play?
Yeah. How many people are you going to extend it to?
Yeah, he doesn't want that to happen again because of the dominance of the West. But I'm just like, nah, but you just going to have to, y'all just got picked. Somebody's exactly. always going to get snubbed. And that's just, that's how it's
going to be. That's just how it is, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. I can't wait to see. I will be glued in seeing all my players play. Hey, who do y'all think is going to win MVP for this game, for the All-Star game?
Who am I rooting for?
The East is going to win. The East is going to win in an upset.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. And it'll be John Wall.
Mm. Oh, I like John. Okay.
For me, you know what? I'm pulling for Klay Thompson to win it.
Mm. Okay. Mm. He can.
I think he's going to come out and just be hitting.
I'd like to see Blake is out. I like the popular dude. I like to see one of the Warriors get it. Let's see Steph get it, take over.
I would like to see them go back and forth.
Lay on the court.
Try to one-up each other. Mm-hmm. You hit a three, yeah. I'm hitting a three. You hitting from 50? I'm hitting from 50.
That would be great if it turned into like one of those type of matchups. Like you're going back and forth.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah. If they both, I mean, we know how the game goes. Like the first 12 minutes, everybody trying to get a dunk,
mm-hmm.
and you just wait in the last 6 minutes of the game, turn it on because that's when the competitive nature comes out.
Yep.
And dudes are not going to want to lose.
Right.
And Carmelo, enjoy the show because you will be getting shut down about a few weeks afterwards.
I don't even know. Don't know why he's on the team. You know what? F it. I'm just.
Because it's in New York.
Because it's in New York. And, Christ. I still can't come to gripes with that.
They stuffed the ballot because I can't even believe fans voted Carmelo Anthony in.
Thank you.
I feel like they stuffed the ballot.
Thank you.
I feel like the ballot stuffed so they could have a hometown person. Because yeah. they never don't
we
have
We need a something person. Good to come out of this season.
I think he was going to get voted in. They're not thinking of the season. It's just, they're just looking at names. And you're like, oh, I'd like to see him. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Get some quick shots, some quick news topics, and then we're going to get into our awards.
Yes, sir.
Y'all listen to the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
We know Jonathan loves that.
All right, y'all, we back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So let us know what you think of this NBA All-Star Weekend. Let us know who you think is going to take over and dominate this weekend. What you think of these Cavs? Are these Cavs for real? Or is it just, you know, is LeBron doing all the work as usual? Hit us up. We'd love to talk to you all about it. On Twitter, at Brothers Lehman. Email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. On the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Definitely hope y'all are enjoying the show. And stay tuned. Them awards is coming up. Holla.
Oh yeah, it's been good. We've been enjoying. Thank y'all for coming on, Kimber Fuzz. It's been good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you.
All right, let's get into these quick shots before we start handing out the awards and get some fun stuff going on. In college basketball, we got Syracuse self-imposes a postseason ban due to potential athletic department violations prior to 2012. So no NCAA tournament, no ACC tournament, no NIT tournament this year.
This is a little weird. I'm like, number one, Syracuse is not even that good this year. So to self-impose, we're just not going to play in any postseason this year. Well, technically, you may not even qualify for the damn postseason. So, I mean, you kind of slapping yourself on the wrist. There's no punishment here.
Well, the thing is that you don't get to play anything. So they play the season out, but you're not in the ACC tournament. And since they're not making the – well, I mean, they're not in the Big East tournament. I'm tripping off the ACC tournament, and you can't play NIT either.
So really, what we're talking about, they can't play the NIT because they weren't going to win the ACC tournament.
They're 15-8.
Right. They weren't going to make it to the big dance anyway. So I feel like this was one of those easy outs. Like, oh, yeah, we messed up. We're just going to, you know, we're banning ourselves.
We're not having that good of a season anyway.
Right.
Exactly.
No, I feel y'all on that. I mean, I'm happy that they're trying to take, you know, like, all right, we
like do that when you're 23 up. And old.
I was like, all right, we'll self-impose a bet. I bet you they won't do that.
Nah, because that's money we lose.
Nah, you NCAA supposed to handle that.
Yeah,
exactly.
We suck, and you know what? We are in trouble. Before y'all punish us when we good, we'll take the hit now. Which is smart. It's just like we're having a crappy season.
Let's just punish ourselves.
Let's get this out of the way.
Oh, okay. Like having your kid punish himself. What would you like as a punishment? Oh, I'll just lock myself in my room for half an hour.
And then we got Serena Williams wins her 6th Australian Open, 19th Grand Slam title, only behind Steffi Graf's 22 majors, continuing to whoop ass on Maria Sharapova. Mm. I'm like, oh, Serena won again? Like, damn. She balling because she can, you know, had a little struggles early on in her career. Mm-hmm. Venus was balling, but now, I mean, she is killing. Everything is just like, yeah, I'm whooping ass. I am the face of female tennis. Don't tell me nothing.
For real.
I'm loving it.
I think she's going to catch Steffi too.
I think she will too.
I think she's going to pass. I think she's going to pass her. And Steffi was great. But Serena is just like on a whole other level.
Yeah,
whole other level.
She's a beast.
Yeah, she just continues to dominate like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And I do think so too. I think once she got it, someone was like, oh, you're only 3 away from tying. She was like, I can do that.
Yep.
I got about, you know, 3-4 more good years left. I mean, right now it's just racking up because she's already, you know, one of the best to ever do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Novak Djokovic beat Andy Murray to win Men's Australian Open. That dude, you know.
Shocking nobody.
No, Djokovic. Andy Murray always comes up short.
Mm-hmm.
He gets there, but I know he's just like, can I just win one?
Nope.
He won one once.
Yeah, right? He had his moment. It's just
for Scotland. They were all happy. You know, Sean Connery came out. Like, yay, you know. That was his moment.
Yeah, it's tough out there though. For him, it's a lot of competition. Djokovic keeps killing. I mean, he got to do what he has to do. And then, you know, sad news with Tiger Woods withdrew from the Farmers Insurance
Open.
He's
done, man.
Supposedly third time in the past 8 starts. Shot a career worth 82 a few weeks ago at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Missed the cut. Then he got his damn tooth knocked out at an awards show for his girlfriend by a cameraman. I'm like, you're just running out of bad luck, man. You took that golf club to the car. That crashed and ruined your life.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's a confidence. I feel like it's such a confidence thing. His skills. I mean, like, I think he's getting older. Obviously, I mean, the back problem is serious. I mean, for a golfer, the back problem is huge. But I feel like after that incident, you know, he lost his cloak of invisibility. Like, he just can't get that back where he's like dominating. He's like just feels in control. And he was a control freak. And that, you know, watching him struggle, it's hard. It's so sad. It is so sad watching him struggle. When he shot that 82, like, did you see his drives? They were just hurtful. And now the short game is gone. It's just sad.
Never thought we'd say this, but I don't think he's going to pass Jack.
I don't either.
I don't think so. And, I mean, when
it was crazy because you're like, oh, he's passing it. He gonna smash the record. Now you're like, I don't even know if he's gonna catch up to the damn record. Yeah.
I don't even know if he's gonna win another one.
Seriously,
to be honest, I thought like a year or so ago, I was like, oh, he's gonna win another. He just needed to take a break, you know, refocus. I felt like he should have been playing Big Pimpin' in his head as he was walking down, you know, the fairways, because I feel like if he got his swagger back, that would do it. I don't think he's coming back though. I don't think he believes in himself as much, and he has an agenda. Adjusted to the fact that he is older, he has these injuries, and I just think his confidence is shot.
Yeah,
I think so too. That's the way he's playing. It is about confidence, and I mean, he was riding high. I mean, he was like way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah,
where it was like every time he was basically the favorite to win every major, it was him versus the field.
Yep,
right.
That was the question: is Tiger gonna win this one? Then after that, it was like, can he win a major? Okay. And, you know, I think golf is hurting a little bit because hooked everything behind him. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was their cash cow. I mean,
he's the one who made all the purses get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, dang, you were like so dominant. And all of a sudden it wasn't like slowly diminishing. Like, okay, he ain't really winning as much. Okay, it was just like,
halt.
You know, I'm killing. Next you know, my wife catches me banging the gang of white chicks and not caring. And all of a sudden now, I'm missing cuts.
Yep.
You're like, what the fuck? You figured he'd at least be like, all right, maybe he'll win, you know, 7-8, may not be number one, but maybe number 5-6. Maybe sneaking a major. Like, dude, now it's just like, this is hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't even, like a year or so ago, he was actually still making the cut. And then having like a great like day two, like his day twos were fabulous, like a year and a half ago, and then now he's not even making the cut. So even though it feels like it's been fast, it's been kind of a slow death, which makes it even harder to watch because you know he went from okay, I'm still competitive, I'm still you know I'm struggling a little bit, but I'm getting there. I'm playing on the weekends, I'm playing on Saturdays. There was a couple of Sundays he played where he even broke out the red shirt, and yet he didn't win. Like he faltered. And then now he's not even making the cuts and he's withdrawing early. It's just sad. I don't think he's going to win another one. I hope he does. I hope he does. But I don't feel it.
Yeah. I mean, I wish him luck. I'd hate to see him. You know, at least be competitive on your way out. But yeah, this is sad. All right, y'all. Everybody's favorite moment is up. We get into these awards for the week. Of course, we got to start off with the Norse Award.
Norse, Norse, Norse.
Norse, Norse. All right, ladies first, Kimba, what you got for us?
So, for my very first award, I have to give it to Dez Bryant's workout video that was circulating the internet. With him doing those upside-down crunches, I mean, it was mesmerizing. I was watching it earlier, and I felt like 30 minutes of my life passed by, but it went by so fast it didn't even matter. Just watching him go up and down on that exercise bag doing those crunches. So, that was very nice. I loved it.
Well, loved I did it. Not see that, but yeah, I guess that wasn't either. Meant for us.
I don't know how you missed it. He posted it on his Instagram page.
I don't have Instagram.
It was out there on SB Nation. Ah, it's out there.
I, to be honest, I really wasn't paying attention to a dude doing upside down crunches. Not something I'm just jumping to watch.
I hate the Cowboys. Like, I hate the Cowboys. I was born hating the Cowboys, but I appreciate the effort he put in there. Yeah. Definitely.
He like, pay me.
Yep.
Yes, they should. So you can make more.
All right, you got another one for us?
No, that was it. That was the one moment that stood out for me. Oh, wait, no, I do have one more. I'm sorry.
No, no, sorry.
Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews in the Super Bowl. This dude was on his way to being MVP. I feel like if they win that game, he can't. I mean, practice squad player from December 6th. And actually, he caught the onside kick in the NFC Championship game, and then had his very first reception in the Super Bowl. He was amazing. 4 receptions, 109 yards and a touchdown, 45-yard long reception. He was great.
Nothing. I'm with that. No, he shined. Almost got that love, too. All right, what you got, Jay?
All right, for me, one, I got to give it to Malcolm Butler for his great play in the Super Bowl. In the last few plays, actually. He was the one who was guarding Curse when he made that miraculous catch. Could have ended up being the goat of the game. And then came out and made a great play on the 1-yard line to seal the game for New England. And, I mean, everybody keeps talking about the bad call, you know, that was made by Pete Carroll. But on the same notion, that was a hell of a fucking play made by him. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate these undrafted guys who come up in big moments and make big plays, because those are the guys who aren't getting the shine. They're not getting the guaranteed dough and all this other stuff. So that might be the biggest moment of his entire NFL career, and we may never hear from him again. You know, as opposed to guys like Tom Brady that we're talking about all the time. It's these guys, and like I've always been saying, you could say these superstars win you championships. Role players win you championships. Everybody has to know their role, and if they play it right, that's what you get. So shout out to him. And then one more. It's kind of old, but got to give a shout out to Roger Federer. The man won 1,000 matches. One of what? 2 other people? Roger Federer is a beast.
And I'm going to use my own Lil Wayne line. Roger Federer, there's no competitors. Exactly. He's probably the the best male tennis player I've ever seen in my lifetime. You put him up there with, you know, Arthur Ashes and all this other stuff. But in my lifetime, he's been the most dominant tennis player I've ever freaking seen. It's crazy. But to get 1,000 wins, yeah, it kind of went, came and went. Nobody really talked about it much. But I was like, damn, he won 1,000 matches? Shit.
He was that dude.
And he's only 33.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind. I'm like, damn, he's still young. I would love to be that man.
I love Federer.
A lot of people would. He was popular. Well, like the face of male tennis for a while when he was dominating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for me, I know this one was old. I had to get love to Kyrie Irving going off of 55 points on the Blazers a couple weeks ago. I was like, damn, on the Blazers too? Damian Lillard, all right. You know, but hey, no LeBron, I can do what I want.
Right.
You know, 55, 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 17 to 36 field goal, 11 to 19 from the 3-point, 10 to 10 from the free throw. And I got to give love. You know, I know we get on these people sometimes. I got to give love to the Laker Nation for giving Pau Gasol a standing ovation when the Bulls came to play and he was his first game back in the Staples Center. I wasn't sure because I know a lot of people out here was talking mess about him. Oh, he ain't really, you know, he's struggling. He getting old. He just this, that. He too soft. I'm glad he got some love from the fans. Like, yeah, you helped us win 2 championships.
Exactly.
Yeah, we miss you.
Don't forget that. Exactly. Yeah, thank you.
Nice. So I was like, yeah, that's nice. I like
that.
All right. I know we got plenty of these, y'all.
Oh, yes.
All the what the fuck moment. Always good.
Mm-hmm.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, Kimbo, what you got for us?
All right, so I got to start off with Bob Kraft demanding the apology. I just was like, really? It wasn't even that he just demanded the apology in case they don't find evidence in Deflategate. It was the fact that he was like, you know, I stand by, you know, Bill Belichick. We've never done anything wrong. And I'm like, what the fuck? Did you not? Did you forget Spygate? What? So that was, yeah, that's my what the fuck right there. My first one. My second one is Pete Carroll. Because the offensive coordinator may have made the play call. And you ride and die with this. Like, I was at a Super Bowl party, and I was with somebody who actually played in the league. And he kept talking about, well, you know, you got to go with the offensive coordinator calls. That's why they're there. And I'm like, but see, no, I'm sorry. You're the final decision maker. You are not just a cheerleader. You hear that? When that play call came in, Pete Carroll needs to be like, I'm sorry. No, you're tripping. Right now, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna give the ball to Marshawn Lynch until that shit fails. If that fails, fine, we lose that way, but we're not gonna lose on some no, you just don't do that. You just don't do that. The game is ending. There's 29 seconds left in the game. Give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Let him run in for a touchdown. That is the I believe it was the stupidest play call in Super Bowl history. I can't think of anything else that was that horrible, that was that stupid, that was that game-changing in that moment that seriously was the deciding play. Who does that? So, yeah, those are my two because I'm just – what? No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Randall for the Cowboys because, dude, stay out of trouble. Like, how hard is it? How hard is this? So, yeah, those are my three.
Okay. No, yeah, that was shocking. It's hard to say, is it the worst? But I guess from that standpoint, that play, that much time left. And he could have just been like, give it back to – we run to Lynch again.
Yep.
And then let the coordinator be like, all right, it's a run play. Let me pick a run. He could have said that. But
right. Yes. That's what he gets paid for. That's what Pete – see, this is to me what the head coach gets paid for. When your coordinators are about to do something that's incredibly stupid, that's when you step in and say, you know what? I love you. I trust you. And you've done a great job. You've done a brilliant job for us. But you're fucking up right now. I'm going to take this over, and we're going to do this. That's his job in that moment to me, is to be like, no, we're going to do this. And he didn't do it. And that's why he bumbled through that press conference afterwards, because what could he say? What could he say?
Yeah, nothing.
Yep, exactly.
All right, Jay. Hit me with it. I know you got some good ones.
One is going to Tom fucking Brady. This asshole – told the Boston radio station he would love to give the Chevy truck that he won for MVP to Malcolm Butler for the play that he made. Well, so the Chevy said, okay, we'll give it to Malcolm Butler. They didn't tell nobody that he got to pay the taxes that come along with the damn car. So you let me get this straight. You want to give me a car as a gift, but you ain't taking care of the taxes that are attached to it? Nigga, I'm an undrafted free agent who don't make much money. What did they say he made this season? $585,000. Not bad. Tom Brady made what? Probably $15 million this year. Bruh, you can't fork over the $35,000 in taxes I'm going to have to pay for a truck that you wanted to give to me? Take that shit back and fuck you. Are you kidding me? I would immediately have hit up Tom like, Tom, I appreciate the gesture, bro, but you didn't tell me I had to pay the taxes that go along with this damn car. If that's the case, I'm sorry. You can have it back. I don't want it. I would tell Chevy, give that shit back to Tom Brady and tell him I don't want it. Period. That's a what the fuck. I can't believe Tom Brady, ignorant ass, pulled some shit like that. Married to a supermodel, making all this money. You didn't even really give him anything. You directed Chevy to give him the car, so you probably ain't got to pay the taxes on it. You cheap son of a bitch.
But he don't get the MVP trophy.
Exactly.
Right. He didn't say give him the MVP trophy, which he could have gotten legitimately. Because, I mean, I know Tom Brady had all the yards or whatever, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but
I made the game was play.
On that play. That was the game.
He played to win the game, nigga. So, oh, my gosh. That's one, definitely, for the golden boy. The other one, I stumbled upon this, and I couldn't believe it. The worst and lowest scoring and most boring high school basketball game in the history of high school basketball ended with a score of 2-0. How do you ask that happens? This happened in Bibb County, Alabama, and apparently it was the fourth game between the two opponents that week, so I guess both teams were tired, roughly, which brings up a bigger point of why the fuck are high schoolers playing 4 games in a week? Right. That's a lot of playing. But I guess both coaches had a game plan of, okay, we're just going to hold the ball until the shot clock runs down, and then we'll chuck up a shot at the very end. So that is basically what both teams did through all 4 quarters. I feel bad for the parents who had to sit through that shit and watch their kids. I would have been like, coach, give me my kid. I'm going home. I'm not about to sit here and watch this nonsense. If y'all really ain't going to play, give me my child so I can go home so he can do his homework or some shit. Are you kidding me? This is a waste of time. I could not believe 2-0. I was like, well, then fucking forfeit the game. Somebody forfeit then. What's the point of even playing this game? And the coach is talking about we're tired and all this other shit. Well, bring that shit up to the organization who's running y'all and tell you, hey, we can't play this many games in a week and practice and have these kids get an education. To me, this is telling me a bigger story that these kids ain't getting the proper education they need if you're playing 4 games in a week. How the hell are you supposed to focus on school, books, and get rest? This just blew my mind away. So I don't, what the fuck? There it is.
Both teams play hard, like Rashid said.
Yeah, I see.
All right, for me, I got Minnesota Timberwolves video for Kevin Love when he came back to play.
Absolutely.
Hashtag the return. That shit was cold. They was like, look who's coming. It was like LeBron. Like Kyrie. Like everybody. Like
Sean Mary is coming back.
Like, and the return of Mike Miller. Like, oh, damn.
And they didn't even mention Kevin Love
at all. Like, poor Kevin. Damn. But, you know, Flip Saunders came out with like, yeah, that wasn't cool. That was like, that's cold. Like, that's a fan. That's what fans do.
Yeah.
That's not what you as an organization do. Like, a fan did that, I'd be like, that's hilarious, dude. That's very creative. But as the organization, you're like,
you just made us look like total assholes.
Yeah, if he wanted to come back, would y'all have been like, no, we good. You didn't pull no Josh Smith where you were like, with Detroit, right, you can go. Now, if he said, you know what, I want to stay here, help this team try to win, you'd be like, cool. But, yeah, that was cold. And for the Falcons pumping in artificial noise during home games, I'm like, is it that bad? Like, I know nobody comes to see the Hawks. Until recently, I guess. But really, like, well, like, all right, we've been shitty these last two seasons. Let's do something
to make up for nobody coming.
Like, nobody's coming?
It didn't work either. That's the worst part.
What made it funnier is that the owner basically gave in and was like, all right, I don't need to see any more of the investigation. I know we fucked up.
Right.
Damn.
And I got one from the fam, Mr. Moody. What's going on, Moody? He sent this one in around the time that Richard Sherman was supposedly having a baby with his girlfriend that was going to be due around the Super Bowl. And there was talk about would he had to leave the Super Bowl to be there for the birth of his child. According to Eric Decker, it's an easy choice. Well, it's different when it's a girlfriend and a wife. So I think if it was my wife giving birth, you know, ultimately I believe my purpose is to be there, is to be a father and a husband. I'm like, okay. So Moody was like, basically, he asked me, well, what is he trying to say? I'm like, basically what he's saying is,
if it's,
well, it's my wife, you know, she is more of importance. If it's your girlfriend,
oh, well.
Hell no, I ain't going to be there.
Wow.
What? I was like, well, you don't know their situation. Maybe they just, they've been together a long time. They just haven't gone through the process of being legally together.
And that's, maybe they don't want to be maybe they don't want to be legally wed. Yeah. Maybe they want to just like chill out for like 20 years.
Maybe they want to be alone.
Like Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, you just have a long-term relationship. We just don't have that quote-unquote title that America loves says we need to get.
I'm like, the bottom line is the person you with is giving birth to your child.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, basically what he's saying is that, you know.
Oh, if it's my baby mama, it don't matter.
Basically, it's a jump off. Like, I'm not going to be there. Don't ask me. Right. Girl, you ain't my wife. The fuck you think? No, I ain't going to be there. I'll see you later.
That makes me wonder if he had that situation in his life. You know, like, if it's my wife, I need to be there. But if it's not, then, you know, it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in his life? He's actually making that distinction about his own children.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I mean, it was like, who the hell are you to come out and say it should be easy? I'm like, nobody wants to have to deal with that choice. I mean, his girlfriend came out and was like, he was going to play. I told him, I don't care. You need to be at the Super Bowl playing. Like, well, which is good. She took the pressure off him. But, right. Like, come on. Like, nobody knows. Like, when you're actually in the moment, I don't know. Like, at the Super Bowl, yeah. Even if it's my wife, I might have to be, you know what? Please, can I play? You don't mind if I play, do you?
There's no wrong answer for that. There's no wrong thing. Exactly. If you play or you leave, there's nothing wrong with either choice. It's your personal choice. It's your personal situation. Nobody else gets to weigh in on it and say yes or no. It's between you and your relationship, your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, those are the awards, man. What the fuck, is always great.
Mm-hmm.
Forgotten award. I'm so sorry.
No,
this is my first time on. Yankees. The Yankees and Alex Rodriguez. The Yankees are trying to go back and block Alex Rodriguez getting any awards, bonuses that he may receive if he achieves, you know, beyond Barry Bonds' record and things like that going forward. My thing about that is this. I have no idea why the Yankees re-signed him to the contract that they re-signed him to. And I don't blame the Yankees for actually trying to, you know, take the money back, or so to speak. But if you didn't write it in the contract that there was like this, you know, morality clause, you can't fucking touch his money. If you didn't say, by the way, if you get caught having, you know, being, you know, using steroids, then all this is null and void, then you can't go back now and try to change the contract. You're stuck with him. You fucked over the fan base by signing him, bidding against yourself, outbidding everybody else. Nobody else even fucking wanted him when he announced that he was actually, you know, getting out of his contract. You should have let his ass walk. But you didn't. Now you're stuck with him. Deal with it.
Yeah, I felt the same way on that. I'm just like, they're trying to get out of it now that he's proven that, you know, he's not worth anything to y'all anymore. He's getting old real fast. You know, you guys are ready to get rid of him. But, yeah, you signed him to this huge deal. And I know if you don't want to market it, you don't want to put anything behind it with him breaking, I think, 600 and getting past Willie Mays and whatnot, fine, but – like, just void his contract then. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to just buy him out because that's a real big hit you got to take.
$60 million. But you know what? The other thing about it is when he got caught the first time and he admitted he had little press conference. Okay, yeah, I'm a steroid user. They didn't try to take it back then. They made all of his teammates, including Derek Jeter, come out there and show a show of support for Alex Rodriguez. Oh, yeah, we're moving on, blah, 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 blah. And so he gets caught a second time, and now you're offended. Now you're like, go away. He got caught once. So what did you think? You think he just stopped? Come on now. Don't – whatever. They just screwed that whole thing up. And I can't stand Alex Rodriguez. Like, I really fucking hate his ass, and I wish he wasn't on the Yankees, but he is. And I hated him even before all this. But we're stuck with them. They should deal with it. It's their mistake. They made this mistake. That's why it's like the worst contract in sports history, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they'll have to deal with it. It's just, you know, you made the bed. Mm-hmm. You want to give them that dough, deal with it.
Exactly.
Y'all will bounce back in a few years. This is what the Yankees do. But yeah, I want to thank you, Kimma Fuss, for coming through. You know, thank coming you. On the Sports Happy Hour, talking sports with us. We had a good time.
It's like one of the best happy hours ever.
Nice.
There you go.
That's what I want to hear.
So let everybody know where they can find you if they want to, you know, talk to any football or anything like that.
Plug in your info.
I am on Twitter at Kimma Fuss. I also have a blog, which is kimmafuzz.wordpress.com. So that's pretty much where you can find me. I'm on Twitter a lot, texting about sports all the time, writing out.
No complaints Vinton. About that.
Right. I heard that.
And, you know, you can find us on blackisonline.com. You can also check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, under Black Is. Give some feedback. You want to leave any comments, let us know how we're doing. If you want to leave a rating, 5 stars, we appreciate that. If you want to get at us directly, you can hit us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman, or on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in, for the longtime listeners. Thank you for holding it down with us and hanging out with us and Kimma Fuss. On this great day, great Sunday out here, for the first-time listeners, want to thank y'all for tuning in to us, seeing what we about up in here. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones about us. Tell your mothers, daddies, sisters, cousins, brothers, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. I can hear my nephew right now. Go ahead and tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. Let's see what we got this week. I've been watching American Horror Story, so go ahead and tell your two-headed women, tell your bearded ladies, tell your giant women, tell your witches, tell your psychopaths, tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, joined by Kimba Fuzz, where we're giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Is where we live and we're thorough. Never taking shorts because Brooklyn's the borough. East of Uptown to Queens and the Bronx. Long Island and Jersey get as fly as they want. But I must tell you, where we rest is no joke. So let me break it down to sections for your slow folks. Fort Greene, Bed-Stuy, Flatbush, Brownsville, Brown Heights in East New York. Or be down till Medina takes respect for the styles we bring. Cause in Brooklyn, we be into our own thing. Atlantic Terminals, Red Hook, Bushwick. Come to Brooklyn front and you'll get mush quick. We ain't just known for flipping and turning our bodies, but also for the take no bullshit hardies. On the subject of blackness, well, let me share this. Brooklyn is the home for cultural awareness. So in all fairness, you could never compare this. Some good, some bad, little hope for the weak. Dangerous streets and Coney Island Beach. All this included when you go for a tour. Some can get scandalous and outright raw. When you step, step correct and watch where you move. We pay dues, so we ain't trying to lose. Here in Brooklyn, the home of the black and the beautiful. For a rough rap sound, ain't a place more suitable. Other cities claim this and others claim that. But let me give some props to the place where we be at. B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N. I came in for a visit, and ever since then, I've been incorporated with select personnel right here in Brooklyn, the place where we dwell. To Boston, Philly, Connecticut, D.C., all the East Coast cities are fly to me. Peace to everybody down south and out west, but for me, Brooklyn, New York is the best.
Don't be afraid to venture over the bridge. Although you may run into some wild-ass kids, take the J train, the D or the A if you did. And the 2, 3, 4, and 5 also comes here. There's so much to see, cause Brooklyn's historic. Fools act jealous, but you have to ignore it. So I just lounge with the fat clientele out here in Brooklyn, the place where we dwell.